much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Log of the Starship Enterprise, stardate 5943.7.
Captain Kirk, this is Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock is ready to patch in. Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
He's an incredibly perspicacious guy, man.
And now,
I kneel before you as a man, begging a much better man to please let me stay here and join you on this Hispanic adventure.
Our feature presentation.
No idea what that was.
That's what we're all about, man, is another Hispanic adventure here on the Kevin Amin Show.
That's us. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Amin Show. It's Wednesday, the 16th of October.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
How are they?
So good.
I bet. I bet they are.
So good.
Hey, first of all, nice job with the Dodgers beer mug. Well done. First of all. Second of all, you ever think about what you would do if money were no object? I mean, literally no object. You could buy anything you wanted to buy. Think how you, like, what would you do if you had billions and billions of dollars? Where if you were driving down the road and you saw a house you thought was pretty, you could go, yeah, take that one. I'll have my guy call and buy that one.
Daydreamed every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. You think you'd buy ridiculous stuff?
I think if I had unlimited money, I'd get a plane. I'd get my own jet, so you didn't
nothing
have to.
Nothing ridiculous about that, my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, because then you don't have to wait in line and go.
Nothing
through.
Ridiculous about that. A private plane, I would think, would be high on the list of
awesome.
Things that people
because
can afford to get.
You'll be traveling the world first class.
That's right. Well, there's an article. I wish there was some backstory as to why this article came out now. They seem to be suggesting that the brother of the Sultan of Brunei is one of those guys who just goes for it. I don't know how much the Sultan of Brunei is worth, but he's usually number one on the list of the wealthiest people in the world. I mean, guys like Bill Gates, you know, they're homeless compared to the Sultan of Brunei. So his brother, his name is Jeffrey Bulkaya, has recently burned through almost $15 billion buying stuff.
How do you burn through that much money?
Well, that's what this article is about. It's a list of some of the things that the Sultan of Brunei's brother. Now, he was born into this. He's never had a job. So he just all he does all day is just look for ways to spend money. So here's a few of the things that the Sultan's brother has purchased in recent years. How many cars do you think he owns, for instance?
10, 15.
25, 30. 20.
Great guess. 2,300.
What?
Mostly Bentleys, Ferraris, and Rolls Royces. Kevin, he owns 8 private planes and a helicopter.
Okay.
For his friends. His friends have to travel.
Sure.
Got to have a helicopter for those difficult spots to land in.
Well, to get you to the airport as well. You don't want to have to drive.
He paid $1.3 million for some erotic fountain pens and $10 million for 8 jewel-encrusted watches that depicted couples having sex. He's a little bit of a horn dog, too, by the way. He gave one of his consorts, it says here, not girlfriends, but consorts, which to me means a girl he was trying to sleep with, a necklace that she later auctioned off for $100,000 at Christie's.
Wow.
So he's just throwing out $100,000 jewelry to chicks that he wants to have sex with. He commissioned an artist to create $800,000 sexually explicit statue purportedly of himself and his ex-fiancée.
He's spending $15 billion on porn.
Yes.
I love it.
He has a fleet of 5 boats. He has a yacht named, well, I can't say its name, but he has 2 others named Nipple 1 and Nipple 2. here's something you guys know about. He owned a collection of 5-star hotels, including the Palace in New York and the Hotel Bel Air in Los Angeles.
No kidding.
He purchased Asprey, the London jeweler to the Queen, for $385 million. He paid $17 million for Michael Jackson to perform at his 50th birthday party at a stadium custom built for the event.
He had a stadium built so that Michael Jackson could do one show, and he paid him $17 million?
So this would be you, Kevin. If you're this guy, you could have Rage Against the Machine play at your house every weekend if you had that kind of money.
That'd be awesome.
He bought a $7 million rug woven of gold thread and embroidered with jewels. By the way, this list goes on and on. Just tell me when you've had enough.
By porn stars. I'm sure porn stars made it.
Right.
He bought the former Playboy Club in London for $34 million, more than four times the market price. He bought a badminton coach. He paid for a badminton coach to be on staff full time.
There is such a thing?
Apparently there is if you pay $1.5 million.
A badminton coach just on call.
Yes. Is she hot?
Yeah, it's
great
a
question. Great
all
question.
Hookers.
And one more, he wanted his young son to learn about football, so he paid Joe Montana and Herschel Walker to come teach his son football at a seven-figure each cost.
Oh, my God.
How nutty is that?
Incredibly.
I love it.
I mean, I guess, look, if you've got all the money in the world,
what difference
does that
make?
Why not hire Joe Montana to come teach your kid how to play football?
Right? I guarantee his kid still can't play football. I guarantee that.
But he can spend money, I bet.
Wow. That's how you blow $15 billion, kids. Please enjoy.
He certainly could cut out the badminton coach. That's where I see the fat right there.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is genius. This is genius work.
Thank you. Back to the Game is the name of the TV show. Maggie Lawson will be in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph needs some desperate help. He's stuck in a vortex of hell with a video game and can't get out.
Oh, I know. Yesterday
talk about
in
that.
The office, he wouldn't stop.
We have Brad Williams, funny man,
mm-hmm.
coming into the studio. We're going to talk to Arsenio Hall.
The people love him.
The people love him.
People do love him.
I hear that's true. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about perhaps the Dodgers.
Okay.
And how
good news.
How things are going there. Yeah.
You can buy tickets for today's game for less than $20.
Is that right?
Really?
It is. Everyone's bailing already?
Well, what was it yesterday, Mug? 70? About 70 bucks you
could
buy?
For Loge.
Yeah.
This is the last game that we've played at Dodger Stadium for the year, right?
Well, yeah. Win or lose, right?
Win or lose, right. Yeah. So you'd think.
Well, no, they would go on to another series if they win. If they win the series.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
then there would
true.
Be more.
They could come back for the World Series, yeah. So it's likely the last game that would be played at Dodger Stadium this year.
Hmm.
So you think that, hardcore Dodger fans, this is going to have to hold them over till next season. They'd want to go out and see their boys. I'm surprised it's so little.
Speaking of Dodger fans, we're going to talk, we did talk yesterday late in the show to Beer Mug's mother.
It was amazing.
Mama Mugs, and it answered a lot of our questions about Beer Mug.
Yes.
Why is Beer Mug's mom better on the radio than her son is?
I was
been in radio for 5 years.
I was wondering the same thing on the way in. I thought, she is a better broadcaster than her son.
Articulate, smart, tells a story, gets to the point, enthusiastic. I don't understand how that's her first appearance, yet Mugs, day after day, disappoints.
Plus, we have a singles party on Friday night. It's Kevin and Bean's Scary Carrie Prom at the Queen Mary, and we're going to give you tickets for that coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Here's a guy that I'm really going to expose as a real disgrace to radio and television. Somebody who really degrades the youth of America and really, really is despicable. And David, would you introduce him?
I think we all know who's coming up now. Here he is.
Ralph Garman.
Thank
hey, Ralph.
You.
Thank you so much.
Quite an intro.
Having Wally George talk me in. That's
Was that Wally George?
Spectacular, yeah.
I got caught into the Wally George YouTube vortex over the weekend, and man, that show was awesome.
Best.
Awesome.
Love Dub G. Before I get to the showbiz news, a little heads up. Friday, this Friday morning, if you happen to be up and awake and near Long Beach, love to see you down there at the Queen Mary. We're doing K-Rock's Bloody Mary Blood Drive this Friday. Kicks off at 6 a.m., goes all the way up until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I'll be broadcasting my part of the Kevin and Bean Show from the Queen Mary that morning. Come on by. We have tons of prizes for everyone who donates. All the details are at krock.com if you're looking for more info. But it's for a great cause, and we'd love to have you come out, and we do it each and every year. It's always a good time to see the folks and give some blood.
And you're the guy that takes the blood, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's me. It's I take a ballpoint pen, and I just take the ink part out, and I'll just jam it into, vein or artery of my choice,
okay.
And then I got a hefty bag, and I just sort of go around and just collect it, just put it in. It's not hard. It's not a big deal. You have to be a phlebotomist, for God's sakes.
And you just put it in a bucket or something, right?
A hefty bag. Hefty bag. And then we tie it up with a twist tie, and then I don't know, there's like a tugboat on beside Queen Mary. I just toss it over there, and those guys, I think they take it to Japan. I'm not sure.
Is that right?
Oh, it's a big market.
Official.
Big market for blood in Japan.
Hmm.
Yeah, they do everything over there. Speaking of which, it's the end of civilization as we know it. I just wanted to announce it to everyone this morning in case you were worried whether you needed to go to work or school today. You just give up.
Well, why didn't you tell us this before we came in?
Well, I didn't realize until I got here this morning, because I know now.
So Dave's good then. Dave's in good shape.
Dave's good shape. Apparently he had no intention of getting here this morning, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, I overslept.
But we're done as a race. Yeah, the human race is now finished.
Okay.
Because this week they've just announced they are selling bottled wine created especially for cats.
Oh, come on. Come on.
There's a line of wine for cats.
This does not exist.
It doesn't have alcohol in it, though, does it?
No, it doesn't, Bean. There's no alcohol in the kitty cat wine, but it isn't wine. It does contain juice made from Cabernet grapes.
That's a terrible idea. It's
been fortified with vitamin C and catnip. The kitty cats just love it, they say. It's just $4 a bottle.
You know what else? Cats love water.
For Christmas. If, as a race, we are now concerned whether cats have enough beverage choices or not...
Agreed.
We're done. We're finished. Talk about your first world problems. You think, I don't know, 100 years ago, anybody was worried about whether cats had a glass of wine or not? Were they busy trying not to get the plague or whatever it is they got 100 years ago?
It doesn't make sense.
That's awesome.
Stop, stop, stop. Weird, weird, weird.
Read that. I was better than morning coffee. I just got so furious and agitated. I woke right up this morning. I read that. Wine for cats.
Even like terrorists overseas, they hear wine for cats and go, no, that's dumb. No one would ever do that.
No.
It's not America.
That's why they hate us.
We need to find them. They're making wine for cats. They have outlived their usefulness on this planet. Give us a chance, though.
By the way, I'd like to point out somebody on this show has been very silent condemning the wine for cats. Somebody over there,
she does.
Somebody over there is thinking, I got to get to Trader Joe's today.
She's pouring glasses for the feral cats in the parking lot. Are you kidding me? She's got crystal out there.
You could do it at home for like $1 a bottle.
Look, I don't think it's 100%. There are exceptions, but cat people are bad. Who's with me?
Yes.
All right.
Everyone's
just in
with
general.
You.
All right.
Lisa, please condemn this. Please be the Muslim who condemns the bombing.
I think that is a ridiculous idea.
Okay.
No, you don't. I can hear it in your voice.
And I can't imagine who would buy it.
And where
do
I get it?
Oh, it's terrible. I will never support that.
And where do I get it?
Do you have it?
No.
All right.
Will you get it?
No.
Yes.
No, she lied.
I'm making my own line of cat beverages.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
You're not a cat lover. This isn't going to go well.
Yeah. Comes in two flavors.
Yeah.
Prestone is one.
Okay. Not cool.
No, it's to keep the cats from freezing.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so it's anti-freezing.
It's anti-freeze. Really, in a bottle is what it is. Cats just lap it up. They love it.
Not good for cats.
Yeah, they never get cold again.
That's true.
They get cold immediately and then never get cold again.
They don't feel it so much.
Please don't do that.
Speaking of drinking, how would you like to be celebrating the happiest day of your life? You're at your wedding at the Sheraton Universal Hotel here in Southern California, right around the corner from where we are right now. And you're there. It's a black tie wedding, and you're there with your best friends and your family, and everyone's enjoying themselves. And who stumbles up to the open bar and starts ordering drinks for himself?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Andy Dick.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Apparently Andy Dick crashed a wedding last week. Unfortunately, he didn't get to enjoy the toast or the chicken dance or anything because security quickly escorted him out of the ballroom, He was just sort of stumbling around the hotel and decided to get himself some drinks at the bar.
Why can't Dr. Drew save him?
Because Dr. Drew likes people to be addicted.
That's neither of you.
He's
wrong
always
with you both?
Hanging around addicts. Who loves addicts more than Dr. Drew?
He's trying to help.
Uh-huh.
You can't help Andy Dick if he doesn't want help.
All right.
So you've given up on him too, right, Kevin?
Nice work.
That's what it sounds like.
Sounds like everybody has no love for Andy.
Do me a favor and bag your face.
That's one of his hit songs. Do me a favor and bag your face. Today's celebrity birthdays. Big list today. John Mayer is 36 years old today. Actor Paul Sparks plays Mickey on Boardwalk Empire, 42 years old. Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips. She's the good-looking Phillips.
Oh, she is. Okay.
Wilson, rather. 44 years old today. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 51. Singer Bob Mould of Husker Du is 53.
They make a great chainsaw.
That's Husqvarna, I think.
Oh, sorry. Of.
Husker Du was a board game used to buy on television. Remember
I don't
Husker
know
Du?
What anybody's talking about right now.
Go get some cat wine, lady. He's 53 years old today. Tim Robbins is 55. Producer, director, legend David Zucker. There'd be no airplane without David
That's
Zucker
true.
And his brother, 66 years old today. Actress Suzanne Somers. Let me tell you something. If you had to pick a 67
Unbelievable.
Year old woman to have right? sex with, Suzanne Somers would be the one.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
So are we belling her today? Is that the.
I would bell the hell out of her.
Yeah, okay.
I would but, bell her in every orifice. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but it doesn't make sense.
It's pretty clear.
I don't
actually.
Think you're understanding
doesn't
what
make
I'm
sense.
Saying. I would bell her. I would bell her hard.
I need a lot of cat wine first.
Have you seen Suzanne Somers lately?
No, but.
She's ridiculous. It looks like they just froze her in time at age 40.
Yeah, if you saw her 20 years ago, you saw her today.
Exactly. Okay. It's nuts. Barry Corbin, very talented actor, 73 years old today. I always remember him from Northern Exposure. He played the former astronaut. Remember that show?
Oh,
I sort of remember.
Yeah,
but yeah, real talented guy. And actress Angela Lansbury is 88. Now, if you had a bang at 88.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. You don't.
Are the other women dead?
Angela Lansbury looked 88 when she was 40.
That's true.
It's very strange. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kevin, I'm very excited to introduce you to your new girlfriend. You will be obsessed
I just
with...
met my new girlfriend about 10 minutes ago.
Mama Muggs.
Nope. This is not Beer Mug's mom. Oh. This is Trish, who has a very popular YouTube channel. She's got dozens of videos, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views on each video. How to Eat a Banana seems to be one of her most popular.
Oh, really?
Benefits of Dating Fat Chicks is another one that's got a lot of traction. But the one that I want to play for you today, did I mention she's a former stripper?
No.
She's even got a book out on Amazon.com about her life as a stripper. But she does a YouTube channel where she teaches things and asks questions. And this particular one, she brings up, I think, a really important question that I don't know that we have actually debated. Before. Here's Trish.
Okay, guys. Serious debate topical question we have going on. We had a big Twitter feud over this. I tweeted, do dogs have brains? Because I, like, seriously wanted to know.
Okay. Do dogs have brains is the question.
Like, do they actually have the thing we call a brain in their skull? Is
yes.
that the question?
That's
isn't
right.
That a, really?
Isn't that a given?
Easy to fix. Find that out.
No, Kevin, it's not a given. There's a lot. There's quite a Twitter debate going on. Let's find out where Trish is coming from.
And there was a huge debate. All hell broke loose. It was like the Crusader War in 2013. It was cray cray. So basically behind, I'll give you a little bit of a story behind my question. So I was like, of course, dogs are mammals. Right? Yeah. Dogs are mammals. They're humans. Or no, they're not human. They're part of the animal.
Okay. Now, so they are mammals, but they're not human.
She's the female me, isn't she?
Kingdom that God created. I love you, Jesus. But,
yes, you heard correctly. The stripper loves Jesus.
But then I wonder, like, okay, dogs can't talk. So do they have brains? Like, yes, they walk, but it's because we're telling them to walk. Just like if I were to tell my computer to turn off, it would turn off. Like, it doesn't mean my computer has a brain. Do you know what I mean?
How about that logic, by the way?
That's stupid.
Interesting.
So dogs walk because you tell them to walk.
Right there, false. That's just not true.
But
dogs get up and walk. You don't say... Dog, get up, walk. That's just not how it works.
But they don't talk, so do they have a brain? I'm still not quite sure.
So they don't talk, and then so someone's like, no, they have brains. And I was like, okay, but they can't talk. So what? How do you explain that? Like, how do you explain having a brain but not being able to talk?
Lisa, you're laughing. How do you explain having a brain but not being able to talk?
Well, I believe it may have something to do with vocal cords and their tongue and the shape of their mouth.
They're different, and they're not human brains, but
they do bark. They make sounds.
You just don't love Jesus, apparently, as much as Trish does.
That was the first question. And two, is there kind of scary? Like, I love all God's creatures, and I see, you know, other human beings, and I can just find so much love for them. But I'm so terrified of dogs. I'm so beyond scared of dogs that I actually, like, will, you know, go on a different sidewalk or like go out of my way to avoid dogs because they're scary. And so then I think, is this, you know, Christian intuition saying like, this is not a creature of God?
Because she's afraid of dogs, you guys, it might be her Christian intuition telling her that they're not a creature of God, which means they probably don't have brains.
Which means they're devil animals.
She is making insanely good sense right now.
I don't know. But the main thing is I think we're all a little confused at, and if you guys can shed light, I would be really interested to hear what you think if dogs have brains or not, and can it scientifically be proven? I don't know, but I think it's a really interesting topic. I think people on Twitter just like to hate sometimes, and they're a little confused, but...
The people on Twitter are the people who are a little confused,
no,
by the way.
Clearly, clearly.
Trish has it all dialed in, but the people on Twitter, what do they know?
You know, it's a serious, like, issue. It's, like, a serious question, because if they're not human or they don't have brains, like, why are they on this earth?
Whoa.
Is it... You know, is there life on another planet?
Wait, what?
You know, I mean, these are all
meaning
questions you have to consider when asking these things. And I don't want to get too philosophical on it, being like, oh, where did we all come from? What happens when the world ends? Is it just black? Is it just blank? Like, what happens, you know?
I don't think we have to worry about Trish getting too philosophical for us. But,
I love her. I'd like to vote for her for president.
I will keep you posted if there is an update. If the thrilling conclusion is unveiled as to whether or not dogs have brains, you'll be the first to know right here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
The day after the Dodgers lost last night. That's not.
Well, we've already learned that Beermont's mom has given up on our team.
Right.
Has Matt Money Smith given up on the team? Is there any chance in a billion years the Dodgers come back and win the next three against the amazing St. Louis Cardinals and make it to the World Series? Let's find out what's going so horribly wrong in this championship pennant series. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's happening?
Well, we're a little sad today. We had thought we had some momentum going there. Last night, not so much.
Yeah, I'll just put it this way. The last two times the Cardinals had a 3-1 series lead in the NLCS, they lost the next six combined games. I think the score was something like 52-2.
Awesome.
So there's a little bit of good news. It just happened last year.
But yeah, there is some precedent for them. It has happened before. I mean, look, the thing about sports is, and we'll remember this from the Red Sox coming back down 0-3, remember, against Boston in 2004. The amazing thing is that you can't count anybody out. It's not over till it's over. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but it's true.
Well, and especially when you have Zach Greinke going into the, like, I understand Greinke and Kershaw both got tagged with losses, but when you're a team that gets to see a pitcher the second time around, a pitcher like Joe Kelly, like Michael Wacha, these young dudes that need us started, you're going to be a lot better against them. They are not Kershaw. They are not Greinke. They are off to good, promising starts to their career. But when you're a team that sees them the second time, it can fare a lot better. So the fact they have their two aces going in game five and game six, and the fact that they're going to see young dudes that they really didn't have a lot of experience with, and that's probably a big reason why they failed at the plate. I don't think there's any reason to be freaked out that this is an impossible task. It certainly is.
There's a better audio connection in gravity than there is with your phone.
are you on a plane?
I know. I'm having issues right now. How is that? Is that better?
A little.
Yeah, that's a little better, yeah. Last night was the first home runs of the series. It has been all pitchers all the time. It's been crazy how difficult it is for either side to squeak out any runs in this series.
Yeah, and you know what? That's not just us. I mean, I should say us. I'm not playing. That's not just Dodgers, Cardinals. I mean, that's been across the board in the playoffs. There have been more 1-0 games this year than I think we've had the previous 10 years combined. And that's not me exaggerating. I mean, that's the real deal. They just are not, for some reason, hitters are being overmatched by pitchers this postseason. And you would think that favors the Dodgers with Greinke and Kershaw, but it's just kind of, you know, look at yesterday. Big John Lackey goes into Detroit and gets a 1-0 victory over Justin Verlander. It's been kind of a wacky postseason that way.
Yeah, on Saturday, both of the games were 1-0 games. That was the first time that had ever happened in postseason history. So let me throw this crazy theory out to you. The Dodgers won the game at home when Dodger Bear was roaming the stands. Now no Dodger Bear, no win. What about that?
Well, you know, I'm not a baseball analyst, guys. So that's going to be hard for me. You know, I'm going to leave that. Maybe you get Sean Green, or a former Dodger, on, and he can certainly speak to whether or not that has an impact.
I think that question answers itself.
Yes, I believe it.
Let's be honest.
Do you want to live in a world, Matt Money Smith, where you can't just show up at a sporting event in your own mascot costume and just prance around the field? Come on.
Look, you know me. I love mascots, especially if that Western Kentucky big red blob decided to show up and really have no attachment to the team whatsoever, but just wanted to hang out. I'm fine with it. You know what? Here's what I would say, and not to get too serious about Dodger Bear, but if it's regular season, I don't think they care. I think we could have the postseason and freaked out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think there's probably some liability issues in terms of just letting a fan dance up and down on the dugout, too. I think they're worried about somebody falling or something like that.
I think baseball needs that.
What do you make of this? It wasn't a factor last night because the Dodgers didn't have much to celebrate about. But what did you make of in Game 3 where the Cardinals were whining like little girls about the Mickey Mouse celebrations, as they called it, of the Dodgers, who maybe pumped their fists a little too exuberantly when good things happen? Was that just poor sportsmanship, or were they just frustrated, or what was that all about?
I thought Don Mattingly put it best, and he gave them quite the jab when he said, look, I got no problem with it, and I really didn't have any problem with Yadier Molina pumping his fist after a big strikeout or raising his arms and freaking out when he's walking off the field. That's fine by me, too. And that was his way of basically suggesting, hey, shut up.
Yeah.
You're stupid. Do as we say, not what we do. It's the postseason. The guy was in a 0-for-11 slump with 5 consecutive strikeouts. He gets a freaking triple. He's going to freak out a little bit. You know, accept it. Deal with it. You are not the protectors of the game. They don't play baseball in St. Louis better than they play it anywhere else. You know, relax. And look, that was one of the great things about that Braves series, the fact the Braves got clowned the way they did by the Dodgers, because that's kind of their thing, the Atlanta Brave way, the St. Louis Cardinal way. Well, you know what? Your way sucks. And that's why you're not okay.
USA! USA!
USA! USA!
So what do you make, this is the voice of Matt Money Smith here on the Kevin Beach Show for the Petros Money Radio Show, heard weekday afternoons on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. What do you make of the fact that I heard this morning that you can buy a ticket to Chavez Ravine this afternoon for under $20 to see the Dodgers play? What about that? That's just people just giving up and just rats off a ship, right?
Well, I think some of it's also a 1 o'clock start, you know, on a weekday. I mean, obviously you can take work off and stuff, but for some people it's just not realistic. You're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
So I think if it were a 5:07 start, I'd be a little bit more disheartened like the previous two were, but the fact that it's, you know, the businessman special in the middle of the day, I guess I can understand why you might run into a bit of a problem there. But go. Take off work. You know, it's the famous Kevin Ryder position. Hey, stomach problems.
Right.
No follow-up question. You get out of work, you go to the game, you'll watch Branky deal and dominate, and then what are you looking at? You're down 3-2, and Clayton Kershaw's on the mound. And I think that all they have to do is win today, and it will completely change the narrative to, you know what, you got Kershaw, the best pitcher in baseball, going in our next game, and then it comes down to a game 7, and Hyun-Jin Ryu already threw 7 scoreless innings, so he's a little confidence, but, you know, and that is what the narrative will become. So all you really have to do is win today. And with Branky going against Joe Kelly, I don't think there's any reason to not feel pretty darn comfortable in that spot.
I heard a stat this morning on the way in that in the NLCS, either 11 or 12 times a team has come back from down 3-1.
Yeah, sadly, Kevin, it's the 10th year anniversary of a certain team that was up 3-1 and looked like they'd be appearing in their first World Series in 40. Perhaps winning their first World Series since 1908. You may remember that. They had 2 aces, Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor going around, and some fat dude in a turtleneck. Sony Walkman on.
Not that Money is scarred by that. Not that Money remembers every crisp detail of that day.
I don't know if you remember this, but I said it on the air, and I was embarrassed to say, you know, there aren't many times in my life where I have turned to alcohol as an elixir. I got so drunk that night, my wife did not recognize me.
Yeah.
I did not show up for work the next day. I was
didn't
so
remember
drunk.
That.
That's right.
I did not show up. You called me. You're like, where are you? And, Barman. Dark time, man. So, yes, it can happen. And when you have Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke going in the next 2 games, there is no reason to believe that it's not only got a shot, but you could feel and you can see the path why it has a pretty darn good shot of
well, it's nice to end the phone call on a positive note. You do put it in perspective. One game at a time. That's what it's all about. Matt, always great to catch up with you, man. Good luck with getting your phone fixed. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Brad Williams joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then Arsenio Hall as well. First, though, Ralph Garman has the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Brad Williams, one of the highest paid actors on TV.
Is that true?
Let me check the list here.
What?
Forbes magazine just came out the list of the highest paid TV actors.
Is he on TV?
I thought for sure he would be on the list.
I don't think so.
Oh, you know what it is? You know what got me?
What?
Two and a Half Men is represented. I thought they were talking about him for a second. Ashton Kutcher from Two and a Half Men. $24 million he made this past year.
My God.
That's what he pulled down this year.
That's unfathomable.
I can fathom a minute.
I mean, no, but I mean, have the ratings done anything but go down?
They've plateaued.
They've evened off?
Yeah.
Pretty solid, though. I mean, it's a big hit still.
Huh.
$24 million in a year.
Whoever's the lead in that show makes the most money. Charlie Sheen was the number one the year before him. Before he replaced him. So just like interchangeable. John Cryer was second on the list with $21 million he made this year.
John Cryer made $21 million in a year?
Ray Romano, just from his syndication royalties from Everybody Loves Raymond, was third on the list for highest paid TV actors. $16 million.
He's also on Parenthood. He's also still working.
Yeah, he made $16 million guest starring on Parenthood, Bean. You're right.
No, what I'm saying is he is still working. It's not just syndication money. I'm sure they're paying him on Parenthood as well. It contributes.
What part of the $16 million do you think Parenthood money is? Really?
25 grand.
That's probably accurate. Neil Patrick Harris and Mark Harmon tied for fourth with $15 million apiece this past year. That's what they made. Patrick Dempsey, $13 million. He's mixed slappy over there on...
That's right.
Grey's Anatomy. Angus T. Jones and Tim Allen. Well, Angus will be falling off this
list. Yes, quickly.
But over the past year, each made $11 million for their respective work on television. And then a tie... At 9th and 10th, Michael C. Hall and Charlie Sheen both made $10 million this past year. There's money in them there hills.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got to get me some of that TV money.
Almost every one of those, though, is long-running successful. I mean, you got to be doing that for 10 years to make that kind of money.
Yeah, and for the most part, comedy seems to be the way to go. Speaking of television, imagine being too annoying to be on The View. That would be like being too ugly to play Quasimodo in a remake of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. But apparently Jenny McCarthy is not succeeding over there on The View as the replacement for Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
That's not a surprise.
Wow.
Everyone pretty much hates her. The staff, the production team, fans, most of all, viewers are saying they feel the need to tune out the second she opens her mouth. Thank you.
Wow.
That's how I felt for the past 25 years.
Wow. That's pretty rude.
Production team is trying to adjust her performance, but they say it's an uphill battle.
Don't be so annoying.
You know what it is you're doing there? Go the other direction.
Stop doing that.
Be the other kind of person than the one you are. So apparently rumor on the set is if she doesn't turn it around, she's going to be... not long for The View. Too annoying for The View!
Yeah, that's it's something. Kind of weird because they gave her the job because they loved her as a guest. Mm-hmm. You'd think that there were, you know, they
very different things, though. That's it. You know, I like a little Tabasco sauce on my eggs when I have breakfast. You know what I don't want to do with Tabasco sauce? Pour it into my eyes! And that's what Jenny McCarthy on television every day is like. Tabasco sauce for your eyes.
Bean, you watch that crap fest. What do you think of her?
Yeah. I don't.
You don't?
Really, I really have kind of fallen off The View. Maybe
I don't know how. You fell off
The
View.
Why?
I never climbed on The View to fall off.
I didn't either. He's the only one I know.
And tonight, if you're interested, you want to check it out, yet another biopic about Elizabeth Taylor. Of course, Lindsay famously did hers.
Sure.
Liz and Dick. This one is about later part of Elizabeth Taylor's life. Her ill-fated reunion on and off stage with her former husband Richard Burton when they did a 1983 revival of the play Private Lives, Noel Coward's stage play. They got together personally and professionally that year, and this movie documents that. Helena Bonham Carter stars as Elizabeth Taylor, and Dominic West, who was, we were celebrating his birthday yesterday. He plays Richard Burton, so go and check that out. It is on BBC America.
What's it called?
Tonight is called...
It's called I'm Not Gonna Watch.
Why not?
I think it looks good.
I think it looks good, too.
I bet there'll be a lot of yelling.
I can't find the title here, Lisa. Oh. I am apologizing, okay. But I'm sure if you go to BBC America on your cable listings, you'll find it.
Elizabeth, yes, we need to go on stage now. It's time for a performer. Yeah.
Is there going to be a lot of that?
A lot of that.
Wow.
Makes
that
me want to watch
Kevin?
It less.
Elizabeth, are you drinking again? I know I'm drunk. Let's go on stage now to perform. Yes. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. John Mayer is 36 years old today. Paul Sparks. Mickey from Boardwalk Empire. Oh, Mickey.
Don't say it. Do not say it. I'll punch you right in the head.
Self-restraint, Ralph.
He is 42 years old today. Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips, 44 years old. Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 51. Bob Mould from Husker Du is 53. Husker Du, of course, you know, in Danish means, do you know?
I did not know that.
See that? Mm. Tim Robbins is 55 years old today. Director-producer David Zucker, 66. Suzanne Somers is 67. Actor Barry Corbin celebrates his 73rd birthday. And Murder, She Wrote legend Angela Lansbury. Jessica Fletcher herself celebrates her 88th birthday.
She sounds fat.
No, she's not. She's old, but she's quite slim. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday night, we're coming to Long Beach. It's Kevin and Bean's first singles party of the year, believe it or not. The Scary Carrie Prom is going to be on the Queen Mary. Keep listening for your chance to win your way in. Don't forget, Ralph Garman is going to be at the same location at the Queen Mary on Friday morning doing the blood drive. You can get details on both of those at krock.com. One man who unfortunately is not going to be able to join us on Friday night, I'm sad to say, is our little friend Brad Williams, who is going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena for two big shows Friday night, two big shows Saturday. Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Williams is here.
What's up, everyone?
How are you, Brad?
I'm good, except for Dave, the King of Mexico, keeps telling me I'm going to die.
Well, he does seem to take a lot of joy in that.
Yeah.
Ever since we told him that you and I...
Right.
By the way, pretty much Batman and Robin.
wait, who's who?
I don't know.
And do I have to wear spandex?
Are going...
I have the spandex.
Next summer to the... to the World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah.
So Dave finds all kinds of violence that's happening in Brazil and shows us videos of it every day.
Dude, you don't have to look far to find violence in Brazil. It's a tough country. It's got a lot of bad things going on.
Yeah. He just showed us a video of a guy getting hijacked. He's wearing like a helmet cam and he's driving. And all of a sudden, another motorcyclist comes up and puts a gun in his face, hijacks the guy there.
The guy stopped his motorcycle for 3 seconds and another guy was right there with a gun in his face.
Yeah. Yeah, and then as the guy is driving off the guy's motorcycle, a cop that just happened to be there, pop, pop, done, and just just kills the guy. We're like, all right, we're going. Couldn't they have the World Cup in a safer place, like Kosovo or something like that?
Do we have to be safe?
Do we have to be going to Brazil?
You guys know, just like for the Olympics, man, they clean those streets.
Right.
They sweep up ahead of big events like this where the eyes of the world are on a city because they want the place to look good to the international audience.
If they were sweeping the streets and cleaning them, they wouldn't allow Kevin and me to go.
That's a good point.
That's true.
Now, Brad, I get why Kevin is going because he's a crazy soccer fan and especially loves the U.S. team, so he wants to be there in person. I totally get that. Where are you coming from? Is this the type of thing you normally do? Are you a guy who goes around to the hot spots?
By the way, let me just butt in first and say U.S. won yesterday. You're welcome, Mexico.
Yeah.
Mexico is going to be kicked out of the World Cup until the U.S. won.
Oh.
Now they have one last chance.
Okay. Yeah, we're saving you again, right, Mexico.
Why are you going?
Girls. Brazil, it's time to salsa. Okay, with the girls with the big booties, and they go boom, 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 boom. Yeah, that's why I go.
I think Brad just thought it sounded like a good party.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's right.
It's gonna be.
Yeah, everyone's like, but it's the World Cup. It's soccer. See, the girls are gonna be too bored watching the soccer. They're gonna be like out by the bathroom. ditching the boyfriends. I'm going to be out there going, hey, I'm American.
So
all
I'm
right.
going to be inside. You're going to be outside scoring.
I'm going to be outside. Yeah. Yes. I've scored more goals than Landon Donovan. Okay.
Sexy. I do like that Kevin has been saying all along that he doesn't have to get – if he gets into any kind of trouble, he doesn't have to outrun everybody. He just has to outrun you.
That's true. You bring somebody with you that you can outrun, and then you're fine.
Absolutely. Right. But see
– I've never raced you, though. You might be super fast.
I'm not.
Okay, good.
I'm not. I run like Super Mario just got the star. Like, okay. You see my legs is like like, you know when, like, Wile E. Coyote would, like, go over the cliff and he wouldn't quite fall and his legs would go for, like, 2 seconds. Right. And then that's how I run the whole time.
So, but his legs are really flying, but he's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
That's what I do.
I just remember the day that Brad just amazed us with his push-up ability. Remember when he came in?
Yeah.
He went one-on-one with Catherwood, right?
And yep.
You smoked him with your push-ups.
See, that's all upper body. Strong core. Weak legs. I'm a damn weeble wobble.
So, Brad, you've been traveling a lot since last time we saw you, but you're back home now. You're at the Ice House in Pasadena, which I know is a room you love. That's going to be Friday and Saturday night. Tickets on sale, icehousecomedy.com. Just $20 to see the great Brad Williams.
$40 for a full-size comedian.
Yeah, exactly. Half off.
and since the last time you were in, you also are getting in the movie business. Tell us about that.
What? I'm trying. Well, my podcast partner, Adam Ray, he did the heat. I'm jealous. So a comedian by the name of Christopher Titus, really funny comic. He had a show, Titus on Fox, numerous Comedy Central specials. And he wrote a movie called Special Unit. Special Unit is about a special group of police officers that all have disabilities. So you have a cop in a wheelchair. You have a cop who's mentally challenged. You have a dwarf cop. And they're all in the same group. And he wrote the script for Comedy Central. Comedy Central said, this is too offensive.
All right.
Comedy Central,
that airs South Park, said that.
South Park and Tosh.0 said, this is too offensive.
Was it this line?
Ha, 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 you're in a wheelchair.
Was it that one?
Might have done something.
Made him upset?
So what Titus did, and he says, screw you guys, I'm going to do this myself. He took a page from Adam Carolla's playbook, and now if you go to fundanything.com and look up Titus or you look up Special Unit, you could donate and help us make this movie. I'm going to be playing a dwarf henchman. And
henchman?
Yeah. I'm a
bad
guy.
So you're the muscle.
Yeah. Well, look at me. You said how many push-ups I can do. I'm threatening.
Yeah. Brad, do you think that this show might have flown on Comedy Central had it been animated, but it was just too realistic to see real actors with those lines?
I think so. And, because if it's like a cartoon, then it's still like, it's fun. This doesn't really exist. But when you see – but see, here's the thing that kind of pisses me off is that – They say it's too offensive. I've read the script.
Right.
Script is hilarious. It's not offensive to me. It's empowering. It's giving people with disabilities jobs as cops, and we're kicking ass in the show. And like, I'm a henchman, and I'm like the threatening guy. And the comedian Josh Blue, who's got cerebral palsy, he's gonna be in it as another henchman. So him and I are partners, and we try to promote this thing on Facebook. Facebook, you can pay them to boost your promotion.
Okay.
They wouldn't take the money.
They said no thanks?
Yeah, they said, this is offensive. We can't. Facebook, which has...
I'm going to donate right now then.
Yeah, which has like fat chicks in bikinis doing duck faces. That's what?
Yeah.
That's okay, but us... And I hate this thing of people trying to be offended on behalf of me.
That always happens. That always happens.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the word midget.
Yeah.
People scream about that. You, it doesn't bother.
I'm okay. And I don't know what people expect me to do about this, because this is my job. And I've been on seven ELF auditions in the last 2 weeks. Okay? I'm tired of having bells on my shoes. I hate that.
Well, tis the season.
Yeah. I hate that. So stop that. Let me play a real role. Let me get out there and play a henchman. And stop trying to protect me so you can go to sleep at night and be like, well, I did a good job and I stopped Brad Williams from offending himself. I want to eat. I want to pay my mortgage. You ass. Stop it.
Fortunately, you don't have to eat much. So it's not like you need to make a tremendous amount of money, but you need to make some.
Two bagel bites. I need two bagel bites.
A day.
That's it. That's all I got to afford.
So that is we're joking around here, but I mean it really is an interesting point, Brad, that people are just uncomfortable around disabled people. They just don't want to have anything to do with it because they think somehow it's politically incorrect if disabled people are seen doing anything, right?
Yeah, and it's like we want to have normal jobs, we want to be out there, and look at the success of Jim Jefferies' show Legit.
Yes, exactly.
Legit has nothing but disabled people. I mean, hell, they even hired Dr. Drew. So he's going to be on the next season. So you look at a show like that, people aren't writing in to Legit saying it's offensive. They see people like, oh my God, he's humanizing people who have disabilities. Titus did the same thing in this script. It's hilarious, and I really hope this movie can get made. So go to fundanything.com, go to special unit, type in Titus, and you can help us make this movie.
Try to get $700,000. That's the goal. 34 days to go if you want to do that, to see Brad Williams up on the big screen. All right, we got to take a quick break. Brad Williams is our guest in studio here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You can see him on stage, and you should, Friday night and Saturday night at the Ice House in Pasadena. Tickets on sale now through icehousecomedy.com. We'll be right back on K-Rock. If we were going to officially name a mascot of the Kevin DeBean Show, would it be Lisa May's dog, Boner, or would it be Brad Williams? That's kind of a tough choice. They're both so cute and adorable.
No boners.
Boner is not as entertaining.
That's true.
I'm sorry,
Lisa. Boner can't dance.
I think Brad may be our official mascot. I'm sorry.
And I don't even need the big head. Mine's big enough as it is.
Yours, if you factor in height, is bigger than mine. Right?
My head is, like, I don't have dreams. I have movies.
That's why Kevin likes hanging out with you so much, because finally his head looks normal size in comparison.
Just normal, not small, but just back to normal.
I'm just an ego boost. People just hang out with me so they know, like, I feel better about myself now. It's great.
Brad Williams is in town this week. You get a chance to see him at the Ice House in Pasadena Friday and Saturday night. A great, great live comedy show. Icehousecomedy.com is where you want to go for tickets. But really, all I care about is that we found out after all these years of knowing Brad, we just found out during that last song that there's a Brad Williams sex tape out there.
That's sex tape.
All I need to know.
Yes, there is.
Brad,
and he just threw it out there like it was nothing. Oh, yeah, there's a sex tape of me.
So casually, how do you have a sex tape and it's not on YouTube?
I have to get a copy of that.
Right.
People are so excited when they hear about anything dwarf porn related.
Well,
they're just like, I don't know if they think, like, if they watch it, they get eternal life or something.
I think
happens.
That's part of the deal.
It's like, oh my God, I've seen a dwarf porn. It's like the Cave of Wonders in Aladdin.
Where is this? How can we search for this?
You can't.
That's what Fund Anything ought to be working on right now. Get Brad's video released. Screw the movie.
You could release the video and make money for the movie.
Yeah, you can't. I have the only copy.
Oh, Brad, why are you a hater?
Oh, wait, you still have it?
No, I don't have
the
only copy.
See, that's the difference between you and me, is if I had the only copy, it would be gone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to risk it getting stolen or any of my a-hole friends.
It's not even good quality. What happened was I was at the green room of a comedy club, and I didn't know this, but there was a security camera at the top of the green room.
Right.
Yeah, so I took a young lady back there and had a little fun.
Right.
And then the club owner walks up to me afterward and goes, "All right, we're either going to be friends for life or you're never going to talk to me again." and he told me that they recorded it. And I'm like, I don't care. But then did he give it to you? Yes.
He gave it to you.
Yeah, he gave me the tape. But then the funny part was that he told me, he's like, just so you know, like, I wasn't going to watch, but as soon as I said out loud, like, oh my God, Brad's in the green room with a girl, apparently there was a crowd around the TV screen, and people are watching it like a sporting event.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, rooting for you.
Go, 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 go. All right. Yeah, it was nuts. It was like watching a UFC fight, apparently.
Do you have groupies? Is the green room a deal where where they line up outside and you just send number 11, come on in? How does that work?
It's like a deli, now serving.
Right.
I don't anymore. I have a girlfriend. I have a.
You sound so enthusiastic about that, Brad.
Know.
Yeah, and we're buying it, so go ahead. You don't anymore. Let's talk about the old days.
Yeah, well, the old days. Let me tell you about it. The old days were fun. The old days had groupies and all that jazz. That was a good time. But now I ended up dating a Mexican woman who will stab me if I do anything else. She's half Mexican, half Nicaraguan. She could make a knife out of anything and hide it anywhere. I never
know
what's coming.
Make a shiv out of Kleenex.
Exactly,
you're in trouble.
It's scary. Well, I had to date a Mexican because I had to date someone like just about the same height as me.
Oh, well, all right.
Mexicans are very tiny people.
Sure. Yeah. I think we got that from the punchline that you told 30 seconds ago.
That's okay.
I remember when you used to come in back in the early days of doing the Kevin Bean show, you used to tell us that there were a lot of women who that's a fantasy is to be with a little person. And they would sometimes, you know, seek you out at the show. That's not the case anymore. I mean, they still want it, but you have the girlfriend, so you decline. But you do still meet people like at the Ice House in Pasadena. You still will meet the fans and whatnot. You'll give them a little something, just not everything.
Well, I'll – a little something. That will be the name of my sex tape, A Little Something.
A Little Something.
Yeah, I'll be out after all the shows, and I'll hang out, and I'll meet people, take pictures, whatever. And if you want to come up and talk to me, great. I love it when people talk to me. Just don't come up with the stupid – there's so many stupid questions people come up with.
Like what?
People come up and be like, hey, man, I totally relate to what you're saying about being short because I'm like 5'3". I'm like, I'm 4'4".
Right.
Do you realize what things I would do behind a dumpster to be 5'3", okay? Don't tell, oh, my life is so hard, I'm 5'3". What are you doing? You're going to go find an Ethiopian and be like, oh, I had breakfast 8 hours ago. Other than that, I haven't eaten. Damn you. Stop doing that.
I know this doesn't make sense in the math world, but 5'3" is like twice as tall as 4'4".
Sure.
It just is.
Just stop trying to relate. You've never had to pick up chicks with Bob the Builder on your t-shirt, okay?
Well,
I've dealt with that. I've been down that road. I feel so bad. That and don't do the thing where people come up to me all the time and be like, hey, good show, big guy. Like, big guy? Don't, like, what, you're going to trick me?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to say, good
show,
big guy.
You've never heard that before?
Yeah, good show, big guy. What? I'm tall now? Sweet. Let's go to Six Flags. I can finally ride Riddler's Revenge.
Hey, that reminds me. Can you ride any of the rides?
No! just stop reminding me.
I don't realize how good that is.
So stop reminding me of that.
I never thought of that.
What's up, big guy? Do you just walk out to other disabled people and say, like, what's up? Like, and then the opposite of what they can do, you know? You walk into a guy in a wheelchair. What's up, legs?
So you grew up in Orange County not being able to go to Disneyland and ride the rides.
I mean...
That hurts.
Yeah.
The teacups. You could ride the teacups.
It's a small world.
you can do that.
See, I couldn't go on It's a Small World because people just threw money at me. They thought it was a mascot.
Fantastic.
Be like, oh, he's part of the ride.
Just stay on it all day.
Yeah. No, because if I stayed on all day, I'd have to hear that annoying damn
true.
Song.
That's true. You can never get out of your head no matter what.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time. Ice House Comedy Club is happening this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Yep. Tickets just $20 to see the great Brad Williams on stage. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And again, if you want to help Brad get the movie made with his friend Christopher Titus, it sounds very, very funny. You can go to fundanything.com and just search for either Christopher Titus or search for Special Unit.
Yeah.
And I hope that works for you. Now, we'll see you again before.
That could also be the name of my sex tape, Special Unit.
Special Unit, that's right.
Absolutely. Now, we will see you again before you and Kevin die, so I don't have to say goodbye now, right?
Not quite yet. I will be back.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
Actress Maggie Lawson joins us from Back in the Game on ABC next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Ralph Garman is addicted to Candy Crush, and we're going to hook you up with tickets for the Kevin and Bean singles party this Friday night in Long Beach. But first...
Arsenio, I loved your show. I watched that show every night. What have you been doing lately?
Well, great question, Mr. Trump. Arsenio is back on the TV. A new version of the Arsenio Hall Show debuted on September 9th. Can be seen weeknights at 11 on good old Channel 5 KTLA. I'm very excited to welcome, I think, possibly, for the first time ever to the Kevin and Bean Show, Arsenio Hall here on K-Rock. Woo. Hi, Arsenio. That was a great introduction for a guest who's not there.
hold on. Let me put it on hold and try.
Hello?
There's just
no one there. There's hello. I sure was
looking forward to this.
Hello. Nope. There's no one there.
King of Mexico?
Good times.
Any advice at this point for us?
I just spoke with them. I'm dialing them up. Hold on.
All right. Let's try again. I was proud of that intro. I felt good about
it. It was
intro.
A pretty good intro.
Do you want to? Do you feel like you can do it again, sell it the same way?
Wait, having said that, I'm pretty sure we've had him on before.
Really?
Well, I
think so, too.
I don't remember.
I usually don't trust my memory, but on this one, I think we did.
Well, at least we were able to get him on once.
They're calling right back. There was a little problem.
Take two.
Are you, Peter, you going to change it up a little?
I think what if he was on before? Then now your intro is terrible.
Right.
Oh, because he might have heard. Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Right, right. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So just leave that part out.
I'm not even going to try the big intro anymore.
No, I think you have to now.
No, it's like the fireworks have already been shot off from the boat. I can't put them back yet. Shoot them off again.
Hello, Arsenio.
Hey, dude, we had some technical difficulty and I was panicked because I lost you for a moment and I knew it was going to happen because I saw Ellen K sneaking around the side of the building. Something, you know, it was something wrong with that. Thanks for talking to me, guys.
No worries.
It's our pleasure. We were trying to remember as we were waiting to get you back on the line whether we've ever had you on the Kevin and Bean Show before. I don't remember if we have. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I'm almost positive. I have a friend who is an avid listener, and we always talk about you guys, and it's hard for me to believe I've never talked to you. I know we've talked once.
Now, when you say talk about, does that have negative connotations?
No. You know what? She's like I didn't want to tell the whole story because it makes me sound too much like a metrosexual, but it's actually the lady who does my nails. So I'm like, I'm 2 feet away from her face, and she talks about you guys constantly.
Wow.
Arsenio has a lady who does his nails. That's what we've learned here today.
You know
what? All right, listen.
Look, I was born in the ghetto of Cleveland, nothing but pimps and numbers runners.
Right.
Don King being one of those.
Right.
And everybody always had their nails buffed, and that's something I got out of watching pimps and numbers runners.
All right.
Sure. Good for you. Now, listen, we have limited time, Arsenio. We've actually been wanting to get you in studio for a long time, but I know you're very, very busy with the show and you don't have time. But I'm going to try to burn through some of the questions that I've had for you for a long time.
Okay.
First of all, what are you doing? Why would you come back to TV in this landscape with this many channels and this much competition? This is like Muhammad Ali going back into the ring after retirement. You were living the good life, the fat life, doing whatever the hell you wanted. Why are you giving yourself this stress and aggravation of being back on TV?
Wow. It's such a great question. And I was starting to wonder why, too, until I got on that monologue, Mark, and until 2 weeks had gone by. And I realized there's nothing I've ever loved more than doing this. It plays into everything I like doing, whether it's stand-up or talking and interviewing. And, you know, I mean, other than fatherhood, dog, I can't think of nothing that makes me happy. This is so much fun. And by the way, because it's such a crowded landscape of Jimmys, it makes it, you know, it kind of gives me a challenge. It's like saying I want to come back and fight again, except this business doesn't require that I have good legs.
Right. And by the way, this business is also one that doesn't normally go back and take another chance on the same thing that was on before.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why it took me so long to get in, because, you know, there weren't a lot of people who thought this would work, and I'm trying to make it work probably for that reason, too. When you bet against me, it's kind of like something that motivates me and drives me. But it was hard. It was hard to get back in. It took me about 5 years. I remember sitting in a room with Michael Jackson, Ron Burkle, Vivica Fox, and Diddy. And we were talking about the show, and they were saying, would you ever come back? And that's where the conversation started. And I only use those names because we know Michael's not even here anymore. It took a long time to put stations together and sell this idea to someone and then have a year from the time you sold it to the time it launches and figure out how to fill that year. And that's how Apprentice came about. I was thinking I'll either do Apprentice or I'll do Dancing with the Stars. And that was an easy decision because I can't dance. I'm sure you know this. There are two black people that can't dance, me and Oprah. So you will not see me or her on that show. And I did Apprentice. I had my birth certificate. It seemed like a perfect fit.
Now, did it hurt your feelings when Adam Carolla all but accused the show of fixing the winner and claiming that you didn't really win it, Clay Aiken did, but they did it because they wanted to set you up for TV again?
Yeah, you know what? I knew that Adam was going through that thing he was going through. And Adam's a really Adam's a nice guy. I would love to hate on him, but I can't hate on him. I enjoyed being around him. He's a very smart, funny guy. And sometimes stuff like that, if you're feeling that, just give it time. Because obviously NBC, you know, they would have put me on NBC. They wouldn't have me as a competitor if they set that up.
That's true.
And obviously the one thing I don't have in my syndicated lineup anywhere in the country is any NBC affiliate. The bottom line is I'm syndicated with Tribune stations and CBS stations, so they weren't. As a matter of fact, it was cool. I mean, I've gotten a note from Adam Carolla since, and he knows how ridiculous it was because NBC had no desire to help me because the bottom line is me being a winner didn't help them in any way.
Gotcha,
I probably was the long shot because I couldn't help them on an NBC vehicle. And you know, they usually like to have someone win that they can put on a soap opera in a sitcom or on a talk show on their own network. So therefore, one hand washes the same hand.
Okay, so you've taken motive out of the equation. All right, point for Arsenio. All right, two more questions with the great Arsenio Hall here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Years ago, Kevin and I were doing a red carpet event in Hollywood. It was one of these movie premieres, and you were one of the celebrities that showed up for the movie premiere.
Ouch.
You came up on stage, and I introduced you this way.
Arsenio Hall is here, looking good.
Now, my question to you is that the worst white person dog pound you've ever heard in your life, Arsenio?
First of all, I'd like to say it took us 5 years of playing that clip before we realized that that was Bean trying to do the dog pound.
Is that Arsenio Hall is here, looking good.
Nothing more embarrassing for a person than that, is there, Arsenio?
You know what? One time I went to a party at Bill Nye's house. That's the only time
you
it ever
didn't
got
go to a party at Bill Nye's house. Never happened.
But you know, other than but it was cool. I appreciate that you even knew who the hell I was back then.
All right, last question for you because I know you got to get to another interview, and this is a question I've been waiting more than 20 years to ask you, Arsenio.
Okay.
When Kevin and I started on K Rock doing the morning show, we were hired in November of 1989. That's how far back we go doing the show. At the time, we were told that K Rock offered you $2 million to do the morning show on K Rock. True or false?
Absolutely false.
False.
Yeah. As a matter of
those
fact,
lying
that
bastards.
Sounds like a lot of money for like if that had happened, that seems like too much money back then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were so hot then that they were trying to figure out a way to capitalize on your success, you know, by having you also do the morning show in K-Rock, really make a splash. And the thought was that they were going to figure out a way to work it with your schedule and pay you all that money just for the star power that you brought
yes,
at the time.
That so you did absolutely, absolutely a rumor. The closest I've ever been to radio is Tim Conway used to let me come sit in on Wednesday nights with him, and he kind of taught me the radio business because it had changed so much since I was in college and they had a thing called a cart machine. I had no idea what was going on.
Right.
And so I used to sit with him. But other than that, no, somebody asked me if I wanted to meet his dad, but that's the only offer I've ever gotten out of a radio situation.
All right. Well, listen, I know we're out of time. We're so excited to have you back on. When you can make it, please come in and spend some time with us in the studio. We can get more into this stuff. All right, Arsenio?
I would love to come in and hang out the whole morning, because you know me, once I get started, yeah, it's hard to stop me. I would love to do it.
That would be fun. Arsenio Hall Show, weeknights at 11 on KTLA Channel 5. Thanks for the time.
Hello? Already gone.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio
Hall, folks. The people love him.
Apparently, there is a television show called Back in the Game.
Yes.
That is on the air.
A funny show that I adore.
And someone named Maggie Lawson is on it.
Who I fell in love with on Psych, and now she's very funny on Back in the Game, along with the brilliant James Caan.
Mm-hmm. And she'll be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
And, you know, if I wasn't already married, I may have met my soulmate.
Oh, is that right?
Because she came in, she's beautiful, she's talented, and she walked through the door hating Bean.
Oh!
I knew!
What?
That she was the girl of my dreams. Right there.
Why does she hate me already? I haven't even met her yet.
Why do any of us hate you already?
Everyone has their reasons, Bean.
Yeah. We'll get into that
in a couple minutes.
It could be.
I can't wait.
All right, let's talk showbiz news. This is kind of sad, but kind of funny. Khloe Kardashian, of course, her relationship with Lamar Odom, rocky at best, troubled at best. He apparently going through some sort of substance abuse issues. Things are kind of falling apart there, but you know what the real sign is? That the impending doom of their marriage.
Is what?
Is that stores are starting to remove their couple's fragrance from the shelves. Yes.
That's how you know.
Khloe and Lamar released a couple's fragrance, Lisa, that was suitable, they claimed, for both men and women.
I had no idea.
That's weird.
It was called
like donkey ass.
It does smell like donkey ass. It was called, wait for it, Unbreakable Bond was the name of their fragrance.
This is just like a comedy bit that you would write for a TV show.
Perhaps in retrospect, a poorly named
fragrance. Unbreakable bond. For men or women. Or divorced men or women. Speaking of divorces and the Kardashians, the ring, the diamond engagement ring that Chris Humphries gave to Kim Kardashian, has been sold at auction this week. Christie's Auction House sold it for $749,000.
Wow.
Here's the thing. The cost, the initial cost of the ring was $2 million.
Wow. Bargain.
So it didn't even go for half of its retail price. It's got 16.2 carats of diamonds. So significant.
Hey, I don't know anything about anything.
Right.
But I thought when you're the woman.
Least of all, back in the game.
True. But when you're the woman who breaks up the relationship, don't you give back the ring? Or no, is that only before you get married?
This is after marriage. Yeah,
so after marriage, you get to keep it.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if you're a bitch and a whore and you break it up.
Wow.
Allegedly.
Not in this case, by the way.
Wait, what? Sorry, I don't know what that means.
I mean, he went off and did drugs.
We're talking about Chris Humphries and Kim Kardashian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Changed to Kim.
Okay, sorry.
This is the other, other Kardashian sister. Okay.
Keep
everybody clear? Everybody good?
Yeah.
Got it.
To me,
And Anne Hathaway seems like a good deal.
Yep.
She seems beautiful and smart and talented and nice. Reportedly, she and her husband, Adam Shulman, to celebrate their anniversary, hit up a Vampire Weekend show.
Okay.
And one wild fan of the audience kept yelling compliments to her. Love you, Anne! You're the best! Like this! Woo! Woo!
That's not annoying to the rest of...
Woo! Devil Wears Prada! Woo! I don't know what compliments he was yelling, but apparently he was being very vocal, but very complimentary. And so instead of getting irritated or having your security pummel him, Anne gave the star-crazed teenager a necklace that she was wearing. Just before she headed home, she said thank you for all the sweet words and gave him her necklace off her neck. That's a little memento.
That coming?
A little souvenir.
Huh.
Ain't that nice?
She should have immediately gone over and given it to him and said, if you'll shut up.
I have lots more jewelry. What's it going to take to keep you quiet? And Forbes magazine, once again, as I mentioned, I think now is only in the business of releasing lists about how much celebrities get paid. They've released their annual highest paid TV actor list. Over the past year, this is who made the most money. Michael C. Hall and Charlie Sheen tied at 9th and 10th place for $10 million the past year. That's what they made. I was glad Michael C. was getting a little coin for
Dexter. I was going to say, he does so much more than Charlie Sheen,
you know?
That's
on
weird.
Every level.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between syndication on a sitcom,
yep,
which he already got with the Anger Management show, versus a drama, which is harder to syndicate. And, of course, he's coming from... No, I guess they're both cable, but one's pay-per-view cable, one's basic cable. So there's a discrepancy in the pay scale. Angus T. Jones and Tim Allen tied with $11 million. Then Patrick Dempsey made $13 million over the past year. Neil Patrick Harris and Mark Harmon both made $15 million. Ray Romano is third on the list. He's got an occasional guest starring role on Parenthood. But he still made $16 million the past year. All of that... The majority of that coming from his syndication royalties from Everybody Loves Raymond. That's not a bad deal. John Cryer is 21 million dollars richer this year. His work on 2 and a Half Men, and since we're talking the highest rated sitcom on television, Ashton Kutcher, $24 million he made the past year.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Can they possibly still be making money off of that show on the air if they're paying that much for their leads?
Oh, sure.
Especially I mean,
with the rich syndication deal that's already in place for existing episodes, those will just roll in.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Mayer's 36 years old today. Actor Paul Sparks plays Mickey on Boardwalk Empire's 42. Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips, daughter of legendary Beach Boy Brian Wilson, 44 years old today. Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers is 51. Bob Mould from Husker Du, 53. Tim Robbins, actor and director, is 55. David Zucker, 66. Actress Suzanne Somers. It's hard to believe this, but at one time she was one of the most popular performers on television with that Three's Company show. That was a monster
stupid.
Hit.
It's absurd.
Stupid, absurd show. Did you watch Three's Company was on?
I did not know. But I remember thinking...
Were you raised in a bubble? How did you avoid all this stuff? You're like...
I don't know.
Were you raised in a bunker?
Oh, I was raised in Phoenix, in Arizona.
No TVs in Phoenix?
You spend all your time outdoors.
Well, that's... First of all, it's hot. That's dumb.
Yeah, but you
go
can
inside and watch some television.
Just, You play. You throw rocks at your neighbors.
I'm
going to
go back in time and just kick the crap out of you on you.
I'm starting to think
I probably could have used that.
I'm starting to think that Kevin maybe was homeless as a teenager. That's why he didn't get to see anything, because he was living outside.
He always says he was outside. I mean, that's just where they lived, in the shade of a cactus. Mary Corbin, 73, and Angela Lansbury celebrates her 88th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I love Back in the Game on
Stop
ABC.
It.
I'm the guy who loves it.
I'm sorry, who? Who is this?
That would be Bean talking, Maggie. Mm-hmm.
But somehow Ralph Garman isn't on board yet, so I thought the way to win him over would be to bring in the beautiful co-star of the show, Maggie Lawson, who joins us in studio right now.
Hello. Such a liar, Bean.
Yes, he is.
That's
Thank
true.
Thank you for calling him on that.
Look, here's my whole thing, Maggie. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's set the stage first. I came in talking about Back in the Game and saying how much I enjoyed it. I think we were on air at the time we were talking about it.
Right, because we're all kind of catching up on the new shows. Not everybody can see everything, so we're sharing finds that
we
made.
And it was a Wednesday, so I said, tonight, check out Back in the Game, because I really like this show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Bean proceeded to say, it's going to be canceled by Halloween. Don't get too attached to it.
Awesome. Now, that's nice.
But here's the important part. This is the thing that you need to know about Bean. Hadn't seen it.
Right. So I followed up with, you didn't like it when you watched it? Oh, no, I haven't seen it. But it'll be canceled before Halloween.
What's this about?
What's this about?
Have to do to get you to watch the show?
What is this about?
Because you're going to like it.
First of all, you've already done it because you came in and you're beautiful and delightful.
Oh, stop it.
I'm in. You can't even see me.
Yeah, he's kissing ass. Now he's just kissing ass.
Oh, wait. That's what you think.
There
is
a camera.
The creeper camera. That's
kind of
creepy.
It is creepy.
Being in a nutshell.
I know you guys are trying to embarrass me, and you can't, because here's why.
Right, you have no soul,
No, it's not that.
It's because you're afraid of us. You're not even here.
I'm the same as Kevin is, as Ralph is, as Lisa is, as you are, Maggie. There's too much TV to watch it all, so you get quick impressions just based on things that you've seen on television. But for 10 seconds or 15 seconds, you go, I'm going to check that out. Or you go, not for me.
Right. So what about this show wouldn't be for you, given the fact that, A, you're the only guy on this show who loves baseball.
Right.
And it's got a strong baseball through line. And it stars
it's James Caan.
Not only Maggie, but I was going to add the amazing James Caan, who is, by the way, brilliantly funny on this show.
Look, James Caan is one of the greatest actors in the history of the medium.
So I can see why you would pass on Back in the Game.
Yeah. Why the pronouncement
this makes
of
so much sense now, Bean.
I fully understand.
Yeah.
What the hell is he doing in this show? That was my first thought when I saw this.
He's playing himself.
Why is James Caan on an ABC sitcom? For some reason, it just didn't seem like... I mean, look, he's a great actor. He could probably do any role and do justice to it. But I couldn't figure out why he was on a show like this. I don't picture James Caan in a sitcom. I'm not sure I want to see James Caan in a sitcom.
No, you know, it is interesting because we haven't seen him like this ever. But the truth is he loves the show. He loves the Collins. He loves the producers, and he loved the script, and he loves baseball. He loves the kids, and he's so invested, and he loves it, so you should too.
Was he in before you, or were you in before him?
He was in before me.
So
yeah,
that's
I read
an easy decision, right?
It's
James Caan.
But the canon, his role, is not a typical sitcom role either. He's irascible, and he's kind of a dick, and he's hard to love, but because he's James Caan, he makes it lovable. This guy's sort of a reprobate, but you love him because he's so great in it. But he's not playing some sappy sitcom dad.
No.
He's the opposite of
that. Yeah, he's playing himself.
Yeah.
He's got this really, really hard shell and mushy inside.
Do you ever get is he now just a co-star on a show with you, just a colleague, or do you ever get over the fact that he was in the freaking Godfather?
I don't know if I'll ever totally get over that, but yeah, he's like my pal now. Like I love him, which is very strange.
You have his phone number in your phone.
Oh yeah, well we're actually
you guys
texting
are friends.
As I'm talking to you.
She's texting Bean's a dick.
You were right. Yeah. Bean's a dick.
You're right.
The show's called Back in the Game. It airs Wednesday nights. Hey, that's tonight.
That's
what a
tonight.
Coincidence.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
On ABC, the beautiful Maggie Lawson is here. Aww. Unfortunately, we started a little late, so we got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk much, much more about the show right after this on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Maggie Lawson is in the studio with us.
Yay!
I didn't know until we met Maggie this morning that Back in the Game is the best TV show that's ever been on the air.
All right, kiss ass.
Everyone should watch it tonight at 8:30. By the way, you've been on Psych for like the last 6 years or 7 years or something like that, too. Is that still on the air? Is Psych still happening?
Yes, yes. We'll be back on, I think, in February for season 8.
That sounded like a question.
Well, I don't know. I think it's January or February, but then we have a musical episode that's going to be airing December 15th.
And
so,
you sing?
Oh, yes, I do.
And you sing in that show?
Our creator, writer, executive producer, Steve Franks, wrote all of the music.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, super. It was so much fun to do.
Are they opposing schedules shooting-wise so that you can do both?
You know what? It timed out perfectly this summer because we wrapped Psych before I started back in the game. So it actually it timed out perfectly. But, yeah. It was a busy year.
I sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. It was a good
year. Let's talk to people who haven't seen Back in the Game. Let's get them on board for tonight. What do people know about it besides you're in it and you're awesome and James Caan is in it and he's awesome? It doesn't have a bunch of little kids in it, does it?
You're really coming around now.
He is. that's what it is. Bean hates kids.
He does hate kids. That's true.
So that might be the fatal flaw for him in this show.
Oh, but these kids are so cute.
Oh, no. There's no such thing for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It looks like there are a lot of them and they're like 10.
They are. They're about 10.
Unless they're on a plate with an apple in their mouths, Bean's really not interested in kids.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how he feels.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Well, tonight, what happens? Yes, I get very drunk tonight in tonight's episode. I make up for many, many years of not being able to go out and have girls' night because I've been raising my son. And I go a little crazy.
A little crazy?
I go very crazy, mm-hmm. Yes.
For those who don't know, Maggie plays a divorced mom who has to move back in with her dad with her young son because of economic situations. And her dad, played by James Caan, is a former minor leaguer baseball guy who taught her the art and the game of baseball. But other than that, was pretty much a washout as a father.
Yeah, he pretty much raised me as a boy.
You're right.
So
Terry Jr.
So yes. So yeah. I'm
literally
like
named her after himself.
Him.
Yes. Called her Junior.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm a little mad about that, and I'm sort of becoming, you know, I'm trying to become a girl for the first time, which is tricky. Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Well. Wow.
It's so funny because they try to paint you. They try to paint you on the show as if you're not stunning. That's my favorite part of the, like in the pilot, one of the douchebags from the show.
Douchebags.
That's Sling. I don't care for him.
Sling. Oh, yeah. Well, he's tough. Well, it's like, you know, that's like a first grade, you know, like tease on the person that you like.
In the pilot, he says to her, "You look like you got your hair cut when you were angry." Regarding her hairdo. That's like, okay, well, let's pretend she's not smoking hot.
Well, that's nice. That's nice, Ralph.
Maggie, do you have to do anything athletic on the show?
I have. I've had to do a few things. I have to pitch a lot.
Now, does that come to you naturally, or is this something you had to learn?
I grew up playing softball, so I had a little background there. But
you're a pitcher?
Baseball is very different. I was a pitcher.
You were a pitcher.
Actually,
right.
I was a pitcher.
You're pretty good with a fungo bat.
So, and I hung in there.
Yeah.
I had actually never done that before.
Oh, really?
So that was kind of fun.
Is that code?
No.
She ends up coaching her son's baseball team.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a morning show, so we have to keep it clean.
The angles.
Got to make sure.
Yeah. We actually have a batting cage on our set, which is really cool, in the pizza place. Yeah, so that's kind of dope.
Now,
yeah.
I know that little kids on my TV is bad for me, but what's it like for you as an actress working with a bunch of little kids? Is that difficult, frustrating, super fun? What?
It is. It's so much fun. These kids are so cool. The kid who plays my son, Griffin, he's so smart, and he's so not like actory at all. Like, he's just a typical boy, and he honestly, I mean, he and Jimmy get along so well. Like, they're I mean, Jimmy's a big kid, so but having them around has just been awesome. They're all really, really, really good kids. I think you would like them, Bean, if you would just give them a chance.
Listen, Bean is not the person. Ralph put his finger on it finally.
Yeah, it's the kids.
As kids.
Yeah, all right.
Although, did you like Bad News Bears, Bean? Did you like those movies?
I didn't see them.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. Really fair doesn't.
But he thinks they're terrible. Did you predict they were going to be canceled by October 2?
Look, please don't misunderstand that. I don't want your show to be canceled.
Stop.
I don't.
I'm just kicking on you.
Don't backpedal now.
I'm not backpedaling.
Okay, I'm not. I'm actually very mad.
Good.
Look,
I'm not backpedaling.
I want only the best for you.
Oh, I do. I do want only the best for you.
That's what I felt when I said you'd be canceled by Halloween. That was me wishing you well.
I didn't mean I wanted it to happen.
no sadness in your voice, sir.
No, none.
Just
cold-hearted, it's all right. Brutal.
Can we all agree now that we've had this conversation? Can we all agree that Maggie is awesome and that everyone should watch Back in the Game tonight?
You tell us,
including me.
I'm on board with
this. I've always said that now, though. Well before this interview.
So by can we all agree? You mean do you agree?
Yes, I am on board with whatever. Whatever Ralph is selling, I'm on board. Whatever sausage is coming down the pike, I'm going to buy.
Just watch tonight. Just watch tonight.
Because it could be the last airing.
What I mean is
it's great and it'll be on the air forever. I love Maggie and I hope Back in the Game lasts. I hope there's a 25th anniversary show.
I warned her.
This is impossible.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. I warned her. How do you do this?
We work with him
morning.
Every day.
Every day we do it.
It's just
we
nonsense.
We used to do it with him here.
Can
but
you imagine?
You can see why he's
I
there.
I understand.
Now.
Yeah.
No, we banished him.
Bean's really afraid of me. That's why he's not here.
Scared to death.
Yeah.
He's afraid of all people.
Thank you, Maggie. It was wonderful to meet you.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful to meet you, too.
Whatever.
Kind of.
You're a good actress.
So this is why we can't have nice things, right?
I feel like the guy who brings his girlfriend home to meet his family, and then the family's like just sloppy drunks and
there's no one good
mental patients and stuff, and I'm just so embarrassed. So
here's what happened. Bean immediately insulted before she even came in about her TV show. And then afterwards...
But we made nice. But I thought we made nice. We patched up.
You lied and you tried to spin it so she didn't
hate
you
like,
so much.
I like Maggie and I wish nothing but good things for Maggie. But I think the point is when she walked out of here, she felt better than she did when she walked in. So I felt like it was a step in the right direction until Kevin got involved.
She may have until she came over to shake my hand and I went in for the hug.
Yeah.
And she had a cup of coffee and I hit the coffee just square on and it literally rained coffee all over her.
Yes.
Not me, not anyone else in the studio.
Doused
her.
Doused her in her own coffee.
Covered with coffee.
Yes.
I was like, I'm so sorry.
Chocolate rain.
That is no way to treat a guest.
That's the worst
experience
that anyone has ever had here.
She got belittled by Bean about her work, and then you poured coffee on her.
We're sorry. Everyone.
Hey, in about 20 minutes or so here at the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to open up the phone lines, give you some more tickets for the Kevin and Bean Singles Party.
Yeah, let's change topics. Good idea.
This Friday night, the Scary Carrie Prom on the Queen Mary is going to be Friday night. So details at KRock.com. We're looking for single people in about 20 minutes. That's coming up.
I may not make it on Friday night.
Well, we have to deal with a problem that's going on in the office with Ralph Garman. We're starting to lose him into his smartphone.
I won't be at the prom Friday night unless
you
I get past level 34. If I'm not past level 34, I'm just staying home to get past level 34.
Ralph is a little bit obsessed with, and by a little bit I mean completely, Candy Crush.
It's impossible to do. That's why.
It is. I agree.
I can't drop all the ingredients down to the bottom. I just can't make it happen. No one can.
But you've gotten through 29 levels?
No, I'm up to 34 now.
34, okay.
But 34, it's been like a week now. I'm on 34.
And you're stuck on 34.
Because it can't be done.
Well, it clearly can. Because people have been up to...
No. No. No.
People have been up to like level 100.
I hate those people.
Well,
you're 34, I'm at 81. Wait till you get to 81. That's really hard. Screw you. 34 is impossible.
Now, Ralph, we should tell people what the Candy Crush saga is for people who don't know. It is the most popular game in the world right now.
Yes, and I am not a game guy. I don't do the games.
For this reason.
I play a little words with friends. I dabble in that.
Right.
Literally with some friends. But I was never like a guy who downloads games and whatnot and what have you.
How'd you get started?
My wife's family.
Okay.
Heard them talking about it and how much they enjoyed it. And they lied. No one could enjoy this.
Didn't you enjoy getting past the first 34 levels?
I tried getting past the first 20 levels.
Okay.
Then it started to bog down
a little
bit.
Now it's an obsession.
Now it's just it's an exercise in frustration and anger for me. Because you only get the 5 lines, and you burn through those in about 8 minutes.
But can't you spend real money on more lives?
Yes, and that's what I'm on the precipice now. I vowed that I would never buy more lives.
That's a little pathetic to buy more lives.
It's the worst.
It really is.
You get for like 99 cents, you can buy 5 more lives.
For any game, if you're spending real money on it, it's not
that
good.
That seems like a deal.
It's not a deal, Lisa.
It's a freaking racket.
It's a free game.
Right. I shouldn't have to pay for a free game.
And most
people
don't.
Well, we all pay at some point, Ralph.
That's true, Lisa.
Ralph,
what
are you playing on?
I'm playing on my Galaxy, my Samsung Galaxy 4.
Okay, the smartphone version of Candy Crush Saga has 440 levels. And you're at what?
34.
34.
Maybe. Let's just consider this just for a second. Maybe you should just walk away.
That is no longer an option.
I know, but by the time you get past 34, you've still got another 330-some levels to go. That's not good.
This will not beat me, this game.
It already has.
You start to take it personally. You really do. I've been playing this game now for a couple weeks, and you really start to feel like they're fixing it against you. Like they're like, okay, maybe there's some sort of spin. It's like a Vegas, you know,
that you can't beat.
Yeah, maybe there's some sort of wrinkle in it that they put in. Unless you pay for the lives, oh no, they don't let you through. That the free lives never get through and stuff. I don't know how it works, but something's up. Someone's gonna.
What about the king though? Who's on level 85? Can he help you?
But he has other people. He had like guests.
He had somebody
come in
playing for him the other day.
He has somebody else come in and play for him.
He's like, oh, I can't get past this level. So like one of the publicist people who were here, she's like, oh, I'm really.
Oh,
good
that's
at
easy.
It.
Let me do
she
it.
She took his iPad and started knocking out levels for him
for like a half hour. She did it. And Ralph's not going to give
point
into
of that.
That.
If you're not doing it yourself, what's the point?
That's Ralph, wrong. Would you like to talk to Brenna, who is on level 440?
No, I hate her. I don't want to talk to Brenna.
But Brenna knows she's been past level 34. Brenna.
Yeah.
What kind of empty life do you have?
Maybe she's just
really
good.
I work for the government, and we're on furlough. So
we got nothing but time.
All right.
Well, what about Ralph's question, which is the game rigged against free users, and do you have to pay to buy lives in order to get as high up as you are?
I have never once paid for anything in this game.
What?
Yeah.
You're a liar. So, how long did it take you? How much time did it take you to get to level 440?
A couple months.
I'm never going to get
it. The only reason I'm only at 440 is because that's where the levels stop on the mobile app.
All right, take it easy.
I can go more.
Now, do you remember any of the levels as being particularly tough? Like, do you look back and go, wow, 34 was rough?
Yeah, but it's more like, oh, man, 237 was awful.
I have the hardest time getting those ingredients to drop, Brenna. What's the secret to getting the ingredients to drop?
You have to get three in a row, Ralph.
I'm okay with getting rid of the jelly. I'm okay with getting the points in the certain amount of time. I'm good with those types of games. But it's the ingredients that drop are hard.
Get the exploding ones.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying. It's hard. This game is hard.
I don't feel like you're helping, Brenna.
Is it the hardest game in the world, Ralph?
It may be the hardest game in the world. Kids might have to start playing this game to get tickets from us from now on.
Oh, yeah? Did it help you?
Yeah.
Brenna, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that. You know, we didn't even ask for calls on this, but the phone lines are just blowing up with advice for Ralph Garman. Let's go to Jenny. She's on line five. She might be able to help you out here, Ralph.
Right. Jenny, hi.
Hi, Ralph. How are you?
I'm frustrated, Jenny. That's what I am. I'm frustrated with Candy Crush.
Don't be frustrated. I don't know if this is going to help you or hurt you, but you can get more lives for free.
How?
He doesn't have to pay for them?
I know, right? My cousin just told me about this the other day, and I don't admit to playing Candy Crush to anybody.
Right, but you do.
But I do.
Uh-huh.
And when I run out of lives, I get pissed, and I don't want to ask my friends.
Because then you have to put your phone down for like 2 hours to get your lives back.
I know, right?
Yes.
So all you need to do is go into your phone settings.
Right.
And reset the date and time.
Well, that sounds convenient.
It's super convenient.
To save 99 cents.
Yeah, I think life may be worth more than 99 cents.
No, but you can do that endlessly.
Literally, you go in and click settings, click date and time, click on the time, and you're reset.
Oh, if I set it for the real time, as long as I reset it, I'll get more lives?
Absolutely.
Oh, Jenny, I want to give you a big wet kiss
right
now.
There you go. That's a pretty good tip right there.
That's a pretty good deal.
She made my day.
That's a pretty good
Jenny,
deal right there.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Jamie. He's on line three. Excuse me. She's on line three. She's gone a different way, Ralph. She's just decided to pay her way up the ladder.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, party people.
This is a cautionary tale for Ralph.
What have you spent on Candy Crush so far, Jamie?
Easily $100.
Oh, Jamie.
My God.
Jamie.
$100?
Oh, easy. On lollipop hammers, the extra lives, the bombs, when you get the bombs and you need five extra bombs for the play-on.
You are their favorite customer.
No kidding.
Yeah,
no kidding.
You're the sucker.
Jamie, let me play play Dr. Drew here for a moment. Do you feel ashamed and embarrassed when you spend money? And at some point, do you say, I'm never going to buy anymore again on this game?
Yes.
You're addicted. You still go back. You're addicted.
$5 more.
Sure, it's always just a little bit more.
Right. This is Kevin in Vegas. All right.
You're going to be doing guys behind a dumpster behind a 7-Eleven to get Candy Crush money.
Honestly.
What, what level are you up to, Jamie?
345.
Wow.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
That might be worth $100 to get a 345.
Do you feel like it's worth it? Do you think it was a good investment? Are you happy about where you're at?
I'm happy about where I'm at. Is it a good investment?
No.
Probably not.
You're embarrassed by $100.
And you said easily $100. All right, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. I would like to talk to Veronica real quick. Hi, Veronica.
Hey, guys.
So tell Ralph what you told our phone screener.
When Ralph mentioned level 34, I went back to level 34 and I passed it at a red light.
All right.
At a red light.
Screw you, Veronica.
She got through level 34 at a red light.
Aren't you special? Hope you get T-boned at the next intersection.
Any tips? Anything you can share with Ralph to help him do that?
I mix the colorful chocolate bombs with the stripes.
Okay, so you take the ones you get for matching four in a row, and you take the chocolate bomb, and you mix it with that, and that blows up more stuff.
Yeah, and once you blow everything up, three of them fall, or whatever you have on the screen at that time, whatever ingredients, they all go down.
All the ingredients will go down?
Not all of them, just whatever's on the screen, whatever's showing on the screen already.
That's freaking genius.
See, there you go.
But it's hard to get five in a row to get the chocolate bomb.
It was already set up. Once I went on, there was two... in the middle row, there was two on the top and two on the bottom, and I just shifted one to the left.
Yeah, you're a bright, bright woman, Veronica.
You have
earned
my
respect.
We have a no texting while driving policy. That's the official rule of the show here. How about playing Candy Crush while driving?
Great.
That's cool, right?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nothing safe. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Two great ways for you to hang out with K-Rock on Friday. Friday morning, our own Ralph Garman is going to be at the Queen Mary starting at 6 a.m. with lots of prizes for everyone who stops by and donates blood. And if I can just put out a personal appeal, by the way. Please donate blood if you can, if you're eligible to donate blood. There's literally no easier way to save somebody's life than donating blood. And you also get to meet Ralph, and you also get to win a prize. So that's Friday morning.
Bean is a dick, as you all know.
Yes.
But regularly donates blood.
Look, the guy gave an organ. He donated an organ. At least you could do is donate blood.
Right.
Bean is taking every other aspect of life.
Right.
Except he's very generous with his body.
And remember that Friday night when you see him.
His blood and his organs are yours for the asking. But in every other area, he's just a douche.
And Friday night, we're going to be the Kevin and Bean show is going to be at the Queen Mary again for the Scary Carrie Prom. That's going to be the new singles party just announced earlier this week. If you'd like to go, we'd like you to be there. Brought to us by our friends at the new horror movie Carrie in theaters this Friday. And this time around, we're looking for... Since this is kind of a blind date situation, you're going to hopefully hook up with somebody at the singles party, maybe exchange some numbers, meet some people that you've never met before.
We thought
it might be interesting to hear bad blind date stories. If you're single now, you want to come to the party Friday night, and you've got a story you can share with us about a blind date that you can't believe how bad the person was or how awful the date was, I think we would enjoy hearing about that, don't you guys?
Yes, and to keep it even, if you're a guy, we want you to bring a guy. If you're a girl, we want you to bring a girl. That way we make sure that there's pretty much the same number of guys and girls at the party.
Exactly.
Right, so if you have a bad blind date story for us and you want to join us Friday night, please call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat.
I remember blind date once. Took a girl to see the movie The Untouchables when it was in theaters with Robert De Niro, Kevin Costner, story of Elliot Ness and Al Capone. Great film. Brian De Palma. I love that film. I took her to see that. Afterwards, we're getting a little bite to eat after the movie, discussing the film. And she couldn't understand why Al Capone was painted out as the bad guy. And I said, he was a murderous criminal who killed a lot of people just, for his own financial gain. She said, yeah, I think murder should be legal. I think people should be able to kill whoever they wanted.
Did you say it's been nice?
Check, please! Who has that point of view?
Who says that point of view on a first date, even if they haven't?
Yeah.
That bitch is crazy.
But the sex was great.
Yeah.
Speaking of great sex, but shut up, Jenny McCarthy is currently on The View.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sources tell RadarOnline.com that fans of the show are not happy with her taking over for Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Many of them, according to research, say they want to tune out the second she opens her mouth. Word is the production team is desperately trying to adjust her performance on the show, but say it's an uphill battle, and she needs to turn it around or she will soon be history from The View.
That's a That's a difficult process to change the personalities on a show like that. People watched Joy Behar and Elizabeth Hasselbeck for years and years, and now you're bringing new faces on. It's a tough transition. Not everybody's going to be on board.
Imagine being too annoying to be on The View.
Yeah.
Joy Behar wasn't annoying enough to get kicked off The View.
Yeah.
But you, Jenny McCarthy, run the risk of being overly obnoxious on The View.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah. Maybe Whoopi will give her a stern talking to. Hey, are you like me? Is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior? Well, you're gonna love this. You know that miniseries, The Bible? Mark Burnett produced it, by the way, along with his wife, Roma Downey.
Had huge ratings.
Huge hit for the History Channel.
Yeah.
So much so that they are editing it down, and they're taking all the cool Jesus parts, and they're going to edit that into a feature film that will be out in theaters in February.
Really?
The movie will be called Son of God. Sounds like an action film,
doesn't
it? Why
do you say it that way?
God. It's in a world where Romans are bad, and the Jews don't know who to turn to. They bring us Son of God.
You're my savior, right?
Clip for the movie. Talk about the best superpowers of any of these guys, though.
Yep. He walks on water, turns water into wine, and he's a hit with the ladies. He's Son of God. They thought he was gone. 3 days later, he proved them wrong. He's Son of God.
I'm in.
Coming to an IMAX 3D near you.
I didn't watch it for free on TV, but I'm sure going to pay to see it in the theater.
I don't think it's for you. I don't think they're shooting for you.
No. I don't know anyone that is, to be honest.
Yeah.
Hey, we can all agree, Passion of the Christ, freaking great movie.
That was a great movie.
Great movie.
Not bloody and violent enough for me. So, yeah. They're trying to make a little cash out in theaters. I think they'll do well. Because there's an audience out there for that cat.
Sure. And Tebow's not playing anymore, so you got to have something.
That's right. Miley Cyrus, she's got a new boyfriend. If you believe the rumors, she's... the llama is currently twerking with Rolling Stone heir Theo Wenner, son of Jan Wenner, who publishes, of course, Rolling Stone magazine. That's how she got in the cover. They're definitely dating, and they communicate several times per day, either by call or by text, friends say. They just can't spend a minute apart. Love with each other.
Okay.
That was the weakest reaction ever.
Okay.
All right.
Rumor has it they may be moving so quickly, there may be an engagement in the future.
That's the best way. We found out that's the best way, is if you just meet someone, you fall in love with them, get engaged immediately.
Friends say Theo has bought a giant diamond ring to put on her foam finger hand. It'd be great if you put a giant ring on her finger.
If the ring's foam. Stop making that
motion. If you like it, you ought to put a ring on it. That's what I always say. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Mayer, he is 36 years old today. Paul Sparks, Mickey from Boardwalk Empire, 42 years old. Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips is 44. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, 51 years old. Bob Mould from Husker Du. Husker Du, of course, you know, is Danish for Do You Know.
Are you just making that up? Because I have no way of checking.
Nope.
Okay.
53 years old today.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Don't you remember the commercial for the game? No. It's the game of Sweep of the Nation, Husker Du, which, of course, in Danish means, do you know? They used to say that on the commercial for the game.
I never saw that.
That's where the band got the name Husker
Du. I never
du
saw
from.
It. What do you want
from
me?
What were you doing?
I was outside. You were
homeless.
We found out today that Kevin was homeless.
He was living under a cactus.
this is like the day we found out he had all those concussions, and that explains what's going on with his brain. We're learning so much about the monkey this year.
He used to have to trap rattlesnakes in the desert and drink their blood in order to stay hydrated.
It was the only fluid he had. He couldn't afford water.
It was a horrible upbringing for Kevin. Tim Robbins, the actor director, is 55 years old. David Zucker, 66.
We give him a hard time, but it's a miracle that he's here today as a productive member of society coming from nothing.
With all the brain damage and the sunstrokes and everything else he had growing up homeless.
Christmas time, they used to just give him a rock as a present.
He used to ask Santa Claus for fire. That's what he wanted. So he had something to roast his lizard with. Barry Corbin is 73 years old today, and Angela Lansbury turns 88. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
As promised, we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you are single and want to join us Friday night for the Scary Carrie Prom on board the Queen Mary, brought to you by the new horror film called Carrie that looks awesome in theaters this Friday. I'm a little frightened to see what Omar has come up with for the intro as we look for your stories about bad blind dates.
Blind date gone awry. My date was a douche, ended up ruining the night. Blind date gone awry. My date was a douche, ended up ruining the night. Blind date gone awry.
Okay.
My All date right. was a douche, ended up ruining
Wait,
the night.
Wait, this is my favorite verse.
Blind date gone awry.
Thank you, Omar. By the way, DJ Omar Khan, along with DJ Jeremiah Red, both from K-Rock, are going to be spinning No Host Bar Friday night. It's going to be huge fun. Let's go to Mike to get us going. He's on line two. He's going to start us off with a story about his bad blind date.
Now, we're looking for guys that girls would want to meet and girls that guys would want to meet. So if you're particularly bitter or something else, try to play that down a
bit.
Keep it to yourself. Mike, hi.
Hey, so I was on a blind date with this girl. We're at dinner, and probably within 5 to 10 minutes of dinner, she tells me she's 2 weeks just out of her last relationship of 3 years.
Ouch.
And I'm telling her, should you be on this date? And dinner actually went fine. Then we went off to dessert somewhere else, and she's like, take a quick right here. So we end up in this neighborhood. She's like, you see that house? I'm like, yeah. She's like, cool house, huh? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, that's my ex's house.
Oh
my ex's
gosh.
House.
Yeah.
So now you're stalking her ex?
Yeah, it was her ex. She helped me stalk her ex.
Yeah. You were absolutely right at the table when you suggested maybe she wasn't quite ready to move on yet.
Right.
So awesome.
So I
take it that was the only date you two had.
No, we dated for about 2 weeks.
Oh, after. You're so dumb.
No, the sex was great, and then it ended in a ball of flames.
All right, good.
All right.
Good enough. You're in, Mike.
Mike, yeah. We'll see you. Please bring another dude friend. We'll see you on Friday night at the Queen Mary. Thanks so much. Let's go to Brian. He's on line two. He has an awesome bad blind date story, I think.
Hey, Brian.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Good.
All right. So pretty much I was told I was going to work out really well with this girl, and things were going great until we started talking, and we pretty much found out that we hate each other's guts.
What? Just in conversation you realize, like, what? Sports teams, religion,
Boston.
What?
She's from Boston. She loves baseball. I think baseball is the lamest sport of all time.
Right, but where are you from?
I'm from here. I'm from Southern California.
Okay, so you know that you're supposed to hate Boston whether you watch baseball or not.
Well, I wasn't told that she was from Boston. I was just told that I would get along with her.
I see.
It is funny. I bet a lot of blind dates go beyond just, well, this wasn't a good fit. Whoever fixed this up obviously doesn't know my type. I bet oftentimes it goes to, I would never, ever talk to this person in real life if I didn't have to. Like, it's just a total oil and water situation. It's actually good that you admitted that to each other, that you hated each other. So there was no misunderstanding, at least at the end of the night.
Yeah, exactly. But it was weird because we were able to converse so easily about it. You're like, wow, I can't get along with you at all.
Well, you suck. Yeah, you suck. All right, let's order food.
But just to end it, at the end of the night, she says, well, hey, I just got a text from these friends of mine, and they're looking for a threesome. Are you interested?
Well, now that just changed everything.
Hold on a second.
Tell us the rest of that story on Friday night, would you, Brian?
Sure thing.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
I was afraid Brian was about to lose it as well.
He was doing so well up until that
party,
point.
So stop the story.
Exactly. All right, let's squeeze a couple of ladies in. How about Yvette? She's on line seven, and she's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, keep calling. We only have time for a few more on the air, but then we'll take some more off the air because we got a lot of tickets to give away this time. Yvette, welcome.
Hi. Good morning, you guys.
Hi.
Okay, let's see. My blind date was horrible. Okay, actually, it went pretty well. It was my friend's boyfriend's friend. He moved here from Nevada. My friend said, you know, we would get along great. Okay. He just wants to meet people. So, okay, we go on our date. We had dinner. It was awesome. Driving home, we get pulled over. His back taillight was out. So the cop's like, oh, can you please step out of the car? And I was like, oh, okay. I thought he was talking to me. He handcuffed the guy I was on the date with.
He handcuffed your blind date?
Yes, he ends up telling me that the guy had outstanding warrants, he stole a car, and also he's a felon because he was brandishing a weapon and assault with the deadly weapon.
Holy cow!
That's an awesome blind date story, though, isn't it?
That's a pretty good story.
A felon gets taken away in handcuffs on your date, so how did you even get home?
I had to call someone. They go, would you like us to take you home? I go, no need for both of us to go home in a cop car. I'll call someone.
Wow. Awesome.
Sweet.
Look how much that guy wanted to get away from Yvette.
Right, I was like, yay.
Thank you, Yvette. Hold on.
We'll see you on Friday night. Let's do one more. How about Dee Dee? She's on line 8. She's up next. Again, we'll take some more calls off the air if you're free and sing in the Want to Go Friday night, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi.
What happened? Blind date?
My blind date was drunk. I went on an online date, and I met up with a guy at a bar. And
wait. He was drunk when you met him?
Yes, he didn't tell me he was drunk right away. About halfway through dinner, he told me he had, like, 4 shots before he got to the restaurant.
Good.
And that he took a cab to get there, and could I possibly please give him a ride home?
And you said, I'll be right back. I have to go to anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not that mean. I finished dinner, and he tried to get me to pay for half of it. He's like, oh, so how are we going to do this? And then I was nice enough to give him a ride home, but then he tried to get me upstairs.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Look, why not? Why not? He already got you to take him home and pay for dinner. Might as well give it a try.
He paid for it. I didn't. I was like, excuse me? So he paid for dinner, but he made a big deal about it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm with Kevin, by the way. I thought that guy was on a roll, man. I would have been surprised if it worked. All right, Dee Dee, thank you for calling. We'll see you Friday night.
Thank you. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
So, Ralph, did our listener tips help? Are you in there candy crushing?
Yeah, pretty much just destroyed level 34.
Is that right? That's what you were stuck on.
Suckers who are stuck on 34. Idiots.
That was losers. You 45 minutes ago.
These people are losers. Now I'm stuck on 35. I just burned through 5 lives on 35. So.
Yeah. We've lost Ralph. We've lost him into his phone.
I don't think I've ever gotten more emails or tweets about any subject ever we've ever discussed on the Kevin.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, they feel your pain. I think everyone's been there.
But so everyone who give me tips and advice and you feel my pain, and you want to commiserate. Got it. Good.
All right. Thanks. Let me ask one more question about this, and then we'll move on to the last showbiz beat of the day. And that is, did you come to some sort of a consensus after hearing from our listeners whether or not the game is rigged to the fact that you can't go too far without paying?
I have had no consensus regarding that. I've heard from both camps, people saying, oh, it's absolutely rigged. You have to pay it in order to win. And I've had some people say, I've played 300 levels so far, and I've never paid a dime towards anything, and I just burned through it. So
you need more tips?
No, I don't. I don't need more tips or advice or stories of your experiences.
How much do people spend? You want those?
No, I'm good. I think I've got a good cross-section of all different points of view, and I think I'm all full up. Thanks.
All right. Moving on. Ralph Garman is here. Candy Crush level 35. Time for the showbiz beat.
Getting those jellies is hard, man. Usually the jellies are pretty good for me, but now the jellies are hard.
Now it's tough.
I dropped the ingredients. Now I have to get the jellies. You know
it's always something, man.
Getting the jellies.
Sure.
Hey, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The list of nominees was released this morning. Half the field of 16 are first-time nominees, including Yes, Owner of a Broken Heart.
I don't know the criteria.
Owner of a Broken Heart.
I like
it's
that
whatever.
Song. I don't know
it's whatever you want it to be.
I don't know other songs they did, but I like that song.
The Zombies, legendary 60s band, The Zombies. Link Ray, nominated for the first time. He or she or they, I'm sure, are very talented.
He's the famous surf guitarist. He's the guy who does a lot of those instrumentals that you hear in Quentin Tarantino movies.
That would be Dick Dale.
Yeah, but Link Ray, too. Same thing. Same kind of style,
it.
Rumble,
stop
movie,
it.
Songs like that.
Stop it. It's not the same thing.
It is.
You're thinking of Miserloo.
No, I'm saying that type of music is what Link Ray does. That's what he's famous for. Rawhide and songs like that.
I don't like you. Also nominated, Nirvana, a little band called Nirvana nominated their first eligible year. They got nominated. Linda Ronstadt. Let's give her a little something-something. Since
before it's too late.
She can't sing anymore and all that bad stuff. Peter Gabriel. The Replacements. Good batch this year. Hall & Oates, finally. Hall & Oates.
See, this is what's tough for people who care about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is where do you draw the line? Are Hall & Oates a rock and roll band or are they just, they make pop music?
Because your wish. Is on my list because your lips.
That fails to motivate this voter.
Remember their hits? This is not not all notes. Not all notes. Not
But should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Because I have a weakness for Hall & Oates because, you know, they're Philly boys.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Didn't know.
Kiss nominated again. Not going to happen. LL Cool J nominated. N.W.A.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah! How did they not? But then you
go
rock
and
roll.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though, really?
Right. And you also go, but legendary and so influential. I mean, they're one of those bands that came along, like the Beatles, that influenced hundreds of other people to go out and start bands. I mean, that there's something to be said for that.
Are there other people in there like them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, then you have to put them in.
Cat Stevens? Terrorist. He got nominated.
I'm sorry, what?
Not a terrorist.
A little cough.
He's not a terrorist.
I had a little tickle in
He's
my throat.
Just a Muslim.
Deep Purple, which was my nickname in high school, by the way. The Meters. Get back
New
to
Orleans.
Me when you translate that into yards, will you? I don't know
New
what
Orleans,
the Meters are.
Band. They do that New Orleans kind of, you know, dance music, Zydeco type music.
Obviously.
Paul Butterfield Blues Band.
Mm-hmm.
And Chic.
Chic.
Hey, Donna Summer's in.
Chic. Le Freak. Yeah, they're nominated. It's the 8th nomination for Chic. Stop nominating them. That's what I would suggest.
Really?
That you'd not do that. So those are your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees.
Who votes on those, Bean?
Well, the last 2 years they've had this thing that Ralph is talking about where the people get to nominate some people that are in consideration in the final list. They'll narrow this down and just put 5 people in. But it's, you know, it's critics and people in the music industry. It's a cross-section of people who have an opinion.
The induction will be aired on HBO in May when the ceremony is held in April. They will film that and put it on HBO. You can check it out. I don't know if you saw last year. So much fun. I told you
about it. Did you watch it, really?
Dave Grohl came out with Taylor, and they brought Rush in.
Taylor Lautner?
Yeah, Taylor Lautner, Kevin. Hawkins.
I know, I'm just kidding.
And they inducted Rush, and it was so much fun. Tom Hanks came out and did Dave Clark 5 and stuff. It was fun last year. So check it out when it's on television. You'll like it. I think. Speaking of TV, anyone else besides me catch the 3-hour superhero special on PBS last night?
Oh, what a terrible.
Oh, no. Sweet Jesus. It was the finest 3 hours of television ever.
3 hours?
Yes.
Dude, lame.
That's a lot to ask.
It's 3 1-hour episodes, but last night on PBS, they debuted them running them back to back to back. And it was 3 hours of superhero talk.
I wish I would have known that 2 hours into the Los Angeles Kings game when we were behind by 48 goals.
You could have just flipped over the PBS and caught yourself some Iron Man.
That would have been better.
Yeah. How deep into the superheroes did they go, Ralph?
Started with the first comic book.
Wow.
Then up to 38 with Superman, then 39 with Batman, and
right.
Then the introduction to all those sort of golden age superheroes, and then it took it through the 60s with the Marvel years, and then got into feature films, television, Adam West was represented, talked to Linda Carter for Wonder Woman.
I'm bored!
Well, you missed that. It was awesome.
Was there any Ant-Man?
There was no Ant-Man's not out yet. Well, they talked about the Avengers, and he was one of the Avengers, but they didn't talk about the new movie coming out of Ant-Man. But sure, they touched on Ant-Man.
Covered, all right.
They talked to Stan Lee. They talked to all the creators, the old school creators of those comic books and everything. It was just a fascinating documentary series. I'm sure you'll see it if you. It's called Superheroes: A Never-Ending Battle is the subtitle. And
so boring.
You can check that out at your local listings.
You write that down.
It's awesome.
So boring.
I hate you, Will Ferrell.
What's wrong with him?
He's awesome. There's nothing wrong with him. It was Tommy Trojan this week.
He's just insane.
Led the USC marching band, fully decked out as Tommy Trojan in full Trojan garb. The only non-marching band member in the school history ever to be allowed to dress up as Tommy Trojan. That's a pretty high honor.
I love him.
I do, too.
He just does. It's just
came out spinning the sword around.
It's just all nonsense.
Of course, Will is a proud USC alumni, so it was a big day for him as well. But they did it for an event called Cancer for College, which gives students battling cancer scholarships so they can attend college. It's really a nice cause done by his friend and fellow alum, Craig Pollard.
Bitchin'.
So congratulations to Will. Got to be Tommy Trojan. Pretty exciting.
There's a guy who has to look at his life and go, what am I doing right now?
He gets to do whatever he wants. He gets to fulfill every dream he has.
Every single thing he does is crazy.
He says, you know what I do? I want to play a security guard at a Lakers game. So they give him the blazer right. And he puts it on his dance out there. He just does it.
I'd like to introduce the lineup at a Bulls game. Okay, sure. Whatever you want, Will.
He can do whatever he wants.
I have to play doubles with John McEnroe at the U.S. Open. Okay, here's your racket. What was that Woody Allen movie about the guy Zelig who just gets to show up just with random celebrities for no reason and just live his life that way? He's Forrest
Gump.
And
he's consistently hilarious at every single thing he does, too.
Yeah.
Like, he never does it, you go, he made it worse or it's lame now. It's always better if Will Ferrell is involved.
I'm enjoying the Ron Burgundy truck commercial.
Me too. Inches. Look, I know this is just a curtain, but I can't get out, seriously.
This is a horse. He has one horsepower. But you feel pretty stupid now, don't you?
You guys know there are 70 of those?
What?
Yeah.
You know what you do. You turn on a camera and you say to Will, go, Will. And then you just cut him up
right,
into 70
70. Yeah. They did 2 full days of 8 hours each and just shot. And they're cutting him up. There's 70 of them. So we're going to be seeing those all the way till now, you know, from now till Anchorman 2 in December.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
400 horsepower. You have one. You feel pretty stupid now, don't you? Staring contest. Now, I win. Come on.
This glove compartment holds 70 packs of gum. Okay, it's just all nonsense.
He's the best. Today's celebrity birthday is John Mayer, 36 years old today. Actor Paul Sparks, Mickey from Boardwalk Empire, 42 years old. Oh, Mickey.
Nope.
You're so fine.
Put it in the file.
Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips is 44 years old today. Her dad, of course, Brian Wilson. I hope he calls her for her birthday.
Hello, Wendy. It's Dad. Just calling with you happy birthday.
Yeah.
You have cake?
Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 51 years old today. Tim Robbins is 55. David Zucker, man who gave us Airplane, for God's sakes. If he just did that one film, he'd be done. 66 years old. Suzanne Summers from Three's Company is 67. Barry Corbin, very talented actor, is 73. Angela Lansbury is 88. And Bob Mould of Husker Du is 53 years old today. You know, I stand corrected.
Oh.
I thought Husker Du in Danish meant Do You Know.
You've said that all day.
I know, because I misremembered the classic 70s commercial that used to show the Husker Du board game. It's funny that I didn't remember it, because listen to the commercial.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember? The world, Husker Du is more than a game.
Yeah.
It's a memory exerciser that's fun for children and adults alike. Yeah. A great family game that increases your alertness.
Yes.
Each player tries to find action pictures.
We've got another 30 seconds. You
don't need the rules of Husker Du.
But how ironic is it? It's do you remember in Danish, and I could not remember that it was do you remember. So Husker don't, I guess. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, you don't have much time for the superheroes, but Clark Gregg is going to be in the studio tonight.
Oh!
Talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is so great.
Coulson lives.
He does live.
How does he live? He died on the helicarrier, and now he's alive.
You've never had a drink of alcohol. We're going to talk to you tomorrow.
I don't want to talk to those people.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
Ask a Swinger. Dan Stern has written a book called Swingland, where he takes an in-depth look at the swinging lifestyle. There's wine for cats. We'll get more in-depth into that.
Let's get the people together who never drink and the people who got wine for cats and just put them in one big bonfire.
And we have more passes for Kevin Abean's Scary Carrie Prom on the Queen Mary, which is this Friday night. We'll see you tomorrow.